show. Head on with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head on with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy! This has been an interesting internet broadcast day, now hasn't it? Somebody must have given the gremlins, fed the gremlins after midnight, or let them get near water or something. I don't remember what the little creatures that live inside the series of tubes and make everything good, pass the packet from hand to hand, were definitely not on the job earlier today, and we apologize. And I know how frustrated Guy James was. Because Lord knows I get frustrated when it happens to me, and then lo and behold, it began happening to Mark. But the intrepid Ben Birch has worked his magic again, and everything appears to be behaving at this point in time, and we will cross our fingers and hope that that is indeed the case. If you missed the portion of Mark's show that was down due to non-streaming, I encourage you to download the archive from WhiteRoseSociety.org or just tune into the HeadOnRadioNetwork.com 24/7 stream, either at the website HeadOnRadioNetwork.com or tune into it at iTunes Radio. Either one works just fine, or at a variety of other places, Receiva.com, Phonostar.com. And you can hear it in its entirety there because it will be, of course, rebroadcast. So I'm trying to kind of try to get my head back in the game, and I think we'll have an enjoyable 3 hours this evening, beyond any shadow of a doubt. Let's see. Oh, wait, what? Yeah, oh, the clock on the wall. Yeah, it says it's Wednesday. Well, we're halfway done with the week. Where'd the first half go? Oh, Wednesday? Wednesday? Wait a minute. That means, oh, dear Lord, it's prayer meeting night. Choirmaster, fire it up!
Ladies and gentlemen, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, let me hear you say, Amen!
Amen!
Let me hear you say, Praise the Lord!
Praise the Lord!
Let me hear you say, I will empty the contents of my wallet into that little collection plate when it comes around.
I will empty the contents of my wallet when it comes around.
And it's all tax-free. Hallelujah!
Hallelujah!
Praise the Lord for all the cash I've got. Present for my Rolls Royce and my yacht. Serving God ain't hard with a credit card. Jesus died so I could make a lot. Praise the Lord, he's made us millionaires. Wave your donations in the air. We've replaced our hymns with ATMs, and soon we'll charge a fee on every prayer. Jesus Christ was a poor man, don't you know? He should have used our accountants for his cash flow. Stop the Sermon on the Mount, he should have had a bank account. 2,000 years with interest, he'd be rolling in the dough. Praise the Lord, this song's out on CD. Just $40.95 plus GST. Hallelujah, plenty of moolah. Solid gold baubles on my Christmas tree. I've got all of heaven's riches, thanks to all you stupid bitches. Praise the Lord for modern Christianity, yeah. Whoever said religion should be free?
glory. I love you. Oh, glory. I love you. Welcome to the Cathedral of Common Sense. I am Archbishop Bob Kincaid, and you are welcome to come down the blood-red aisle and kneel before the altar of reason and lay your hands upon the subwoofers and feel the healing rays of common sense flowing through you. Ha! Glory! Welcome, brethren and sistren, to prayer meeting. First prayer meeting of 2009. And if you thought we had a prayerful 2008, we're going to have a more prayerful 2009. Glory, 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 hallelujah. We are going to get all up in the Spirit. Yes, amen, and amen. And I need you to do me a favor. Do Brother Bob a favor, would you? Now, this is going to take a little bit of prevarication. So I don't want to challenge anybody's morals or anything. But there's a top 10 list. The Christian Anti-Defamation Commission has come out with its top 10 instances of Christian bashing in America 2008. Now, of course, these are a bunch of lying, sorry sods because they're no closer to the message of Yeshua, the brown-skinned Nazarene day laborer, than a hog is to understanding haute couture. But they put out their list of the top 10 instances of Christian bashing in America. Oh. The Christian Anti-Defamation Commission is headed by an individual by the name of, what's his name? I just know I've got it. I've got it right. Come on. Yeah, there it is. The Christian Anti-Defamation Commission, or the Christian Commission on Anti-Defamation, I'm not sure which, is headed by this really creepy little huckster named Dr. Now, bear in mind, he's one of those doctors that if he tried to put a Band-Aid on, he'd probably kill you. Dr. Gary Cass. Dr. Gary Cass. C-A-S-S. And he says he wants his list to both inform and equip believers. I think it's because this sense of anti-Christian hostility is reinforced constantly in the culture. You have comedians making Christians the butt of their jokes. Those of us who stand for traditional biblical values are compared to cavemen, practically. We are, and they have to, this is the fun part, they have to put the brackets in here, which, and I can tell you as an English language expert, I am an expert, don't try this at home. When they have to put the brackets in, that means he didn't really say those words, that they've been editorial inserted. What he said is, we are compared to cavemen practically, we are a bunch of unenlightened Neanderthals. Well, he may have said the first thing that I have ever seen fit to agree with him on. He is an unenlightened Neanderthal. But the fine folks at the news organ of the American Family Association kindly put in portrayed as, so that we are portrayed as a bunch of unenlightened Neanderthals. And see, that's the thing. They get jokes made about them because they are so ludicrous in the first place, but I'm probably stating the obvious, aren't I? So anyway, Dr. Gary Cass... No, Doc, don't heal me, please! Dr. Gary Cass is the CEO of the CADC, or the CCAD, or, no, the Christian CADC, there we go. Christian Anti-Defamation Commission. And they've got their top 10 list out. Oh, brothers and sisters, you're going to love this. We all love a top 10 list. Thank you, David Letterman, for inventing them. But you know what, brothers and sisters, I'm not on it anywhere. I am not on it anywhere. And there is a contact link at defendchristians.org. defendchristians.org. Now, what I need you to do, if you're willing, I don't want anybody to do anything that they think would be uncomfortable for them. Get yourself a little throwaway email address, you know, Juno, Yahoo, whatever, because you don't want their spam coming to you or anything. But use that. Let's see. Use that contact. That contact us link. Let's see. Contact at christianadc.org. Yeah, they're an anti-defamation commission because, you know, having a joke made about you is the same as having 6 million of your people sent to the gas chamber. They got a perspective problem. Contact at christianadc.org. And what you want to do is write as if you are a fundamentalist. Misspell a lot of words and screw up your punctuation, and they'll think you're one of them, okay? Use the word praise with several exclamation points several times. Write to them and tell them if they think they're being persecuted, they don't know half the persecuting they've got. And encourage them to tune in to prayer meeting right here on the Horn. America's Liberal Voice. Oh, brother, he wears out evangelical Bible-believing Christians. Oh, he does. And you know what? Next thing you know, we'll have a huge, huge audience because nothing will blow us up like getting hated on by the right wing, especially freakish fundamentalists like Dr. Gary Cass. But just to give you an idea of the sense of the sense of perspective that they do have. Number 10, which obviously is the lowest number, number 10 on their top 10 list instances of Christian bashing in America is the Jack Black musical video. In a short video posted on funnyordie.com entitled Prop 8 the Musical, an all-star cast of Hollywood celebrities perform a low-budget musical farce that defames Christ, mocks Christians, and distorts the teaching of the Bible. Jack Black played the lead role of Jesus. Well, I don't know. Maybe if they'd had Max von Sydow, they wouldn't have been quite so pissed off. I just don't know. Now, you, of course, have all seen Prop 8, the musical. It became quite viral, and it's quite funny. And you know what? Here's the funny part. There's as between the people in Prop 8, the musical, and the Christian Anti-Defamation Commission, the CADC, there's only one group that's actually overtly, actively lying. Here's a hint. It's not in Prop 8, the musical. Because what they're pissed off about is that one of the fundies portrayed in Prop 8, the musical says to Jesus, who appears on stage, says, but being gay is an abomination. At which point, a shrimp cocktail magically appears in Jack Black's hands, and he says, yeah, but so's this shrimp cocktail. And you know what? Jack Black, as Jesus, is telling the truth. One could get you stoned. Another thing could get you stoned. And I don't mean the good kind. I mean to death. But they think that's mocking Jesus because it hasn't made Jesus into the hateful demon god that they worship. Number 9, and this I found shocking. Like I said, this is all about perspective. I found number 9 to be quite shocking. Bill Maher gratuitously attacks Pope. Huh? Bill Maher, host of the HBO program, Fundies are defending the Pope now? Wow, they are tightening ranks. Bill Maher, host of the HBO program Real Time, made light of the Pope during his recent visit and the tragic sexual abuse scandal. Maher said, oh, I know what you're thinking, Bill. You can't be saying that the Catholic Church is no better than this creepy Texas cult. For one thing, altar boys can't even get pregnant. But really, what tripped up the little cult on the prairie, that's just cute, was that they only abused hundreds of kids, not thousands all over the world. Cults get raided. Religions get parades. If you have a few hundred followers and you let some of them molest children, they call you a cult leader. If you have a billion, they call you Pope. Gratuitously attacks Pope? That's an attack on the Pope? That sounds like a the pretty common sense, straightforward, honest appraisal of the sexual abuse scandal that that plagues the church. And, of course, those who are in the know, which automatically lets out the entire membership of the Christian Anti-Defamation Commission, those in the know understand that Benny the Rat, before he became the Pope, was John Paul II's chief enforcer in the organization that literally still runs the Inquisition. And that Benny the Rat had been part and parcel of authoring a position paper. No, not that kind of position, you perverts. Well, I don't know. A position paper that told parish priests and lower downs to cover up child molestation at all costs. And to think first of the church and second of the children. Now, that's not me making stuff up. That's just a fact. Feel free to fact check me. You can get back to me. Because you know I'm right, on this one, at least. I'm not playing when it comes to abusing children. No, no. I don't find anything funny in it. Number eight, well, they got upset about ESPN anchor Dana Jacobson using some of the fun words at something. It was a thing in honor of Mike Greenberg and Mike Golic, and Dana Jacobson said something untoward about Jesus and Notre Dame. Let's see, number seven, Minnesota University professor desecrates the communion. You know, do you ever think that the evangelicals get a little nervous about the fact that communion and communist are the same words except for the last two letters? Just say it. A biology professor from the University of Minnesota, Paul Zachary Mars, that's Mars, M-Y-E-R-S, Mars, recently desecrated a consecrated communion wafer from a Catholic mass. Mars has also asked people to steal the Eucharist for him in order that he might desecrate it and display it on his blog. How do you desecrate a saltine? Just asking. But then, number six, not even in the top five, Religious the movie. I hope somebody tells Bill Maher about this because he is going to be heartbroken. Bill Maher released a very shallow, pseudo-intellectual documentary entitled Religious. The movie did not cover any new intellectual ground. It simply raised the old attacks on the faith. Maher studiously avoided being, and Maher, that's Maher, not Mars. Mars is M-E-Y-E-R-S, Mars, M-A-H-E-R. You know how those people are. They say things different. You spell it different ways. Sounds all the same to me. Mars studiously avoided being fur and did not allow for legitimate Christian answers from any leading Christian intellectuals. Christian intellectuals? Really? Those exist? Like who? Like Rick Warren? I got a Rick Warren story in the stack for prayer meeting tonight, too. Legitimate Christian answers from any... Well, you know, sure, put the guy on camera. Is the Christian Anti-Defamation Commission saying that the fundamentalist evangelical ex-gay guy that Bill Maher interviewed on the program was not a Christian intellectual? Or that he was not a legitimate Christian? It's gonna come as quite a surprise to ex-gay dude there with still has the porn mustache and stuff, if I recall correctly. It's gonna come as quite a surprise to him that he's been sitting there strangling his basic human nature for all these years just to be called not legitimate by a bunch of freaks at the Christian Anti-Defamation Commission. Oh, let's see. Number five, chaplains fired for praying in Jesus' name. Number four, I found number four quite interesting. Colorado law criminalizes the Bible. What? Colorado? You mean out there where that good holy man who tells men to show their winkies to their little sons in the shower so they won't catch the gay James Dobson, where he rules the roost, they got that Colorado legislature done passed a law that criminalizes the Bible? What? Oh,
SB 200, a Colorado state bill recently signed into law, criminalizes the Bible. Yes, yes, sister, it does. Section 8 of the bill, entitled Publishing of Discriminative Matter Forbidden, makes publishing the Bible illegal because it contains anti-homer sectional passages. This is part of a larger effort to criminalize the expression of certain opinions and beliefs. There's only one problem. Everybody, one, two, three. It's not true. That's how these weirdo propagandists from the fundamentalism industry want to characterize what that law does. I mean, we've got several listeners in Colorado. One of them calls in quite frequently, our dear friend Preston. And I have yet to hear Preston tell me that the people are being rounded up for selling Bibles. I mean, I know, because, you know, Preston's an even-handed, fair fellow, and I have no doubt that if there were goon squads traveling around the Golden or Denver or the Colorado Springs or Fort Collins or anywhere, Aspen, Vail, I have a feeling if there were goon squads traveling around there rounding up the Gideons as they were trying to sneak their Bibles into the Motel 6, I have a feeling Preston would tell us about it. There's only one problem. We're not hearing about it because everybody isn't true. Oh, number three. Barack Obama defames Christianity. CADC has determined that by any biblical and historic Christian standard, Barack Obama is not a Christian, although he claims he is a devout Christian. He's a Muslim. He is. That's not really Abraham Lincoln's Bible he's going to be swearing on. That's a copy of Abraham Lincoln's Bible front and back covers, and it's going to be laying over a Koran. Really? Number two, Vice Presidential candidate Sarah Palin is attacked. Yes, yes. Alaska Governor Sarah Palin came under attack by a number of atheist wolves and mooses and polar bears. No. Came under sharp attack by some of the mainstream media because she self-identifies as a Christian. Really? I tended to criticize her because she's an idiot. Yeah. Am I slipping on my persecuting? Somebody tell me. Bob at headonradio.com. You can get right through to me. Mm-hmm. The Washington Post published a cartoon by Pat Oliphant mocking Palin because she has a background as a Pentecostal charismatic Christian. A suspicious arson fire at Sarah Palin's home church recently caused over $1 million in damage. So that's nine, okay? That's nine. We've gone all the way to number nine. Bill Maher couldn't even crack the top five with a movie that he was hoping would really, really get under their skin. And number one. Come on, you know, don't you? Who have we not beaten on? These are fundies. These are evangelicals. What do they live to do? Whose back do they fundraise on? Come on. Number one. Radical Homer Sectionals Assault Prop 8 Merge Supporters in California. During and after the November campaign, stories flooded in of pro-Prop 8 signs being taken. They took their signs. They're persecuting the Christians, taking their signs. Don't you understand? That's the same thing as when Nero jammed spikes up Christians' butts and doused them in olive oil and lit them on fire in the fields of the Vatican in the first century A.D., it's the same thing. Stealing a yard sign is the same as killing Christ. It's all persecution, brethren and sistren. People verbally and physically assaulted, church property and private automobiles vandalized, and persons' jobs and pastors' lives threatened simply for exercising their right to campaign and vote in support of traditional marriage. You know, just like the traditional marriage in the Bible, where in order to marry a woman
an entire town has to have their little willies cut on, and then the party of the bride comes in and slaughters them to the last man. Traditional marriage. Like when David didn't want a woman as one of his many wives, but instead told her, honey, you can be a concubine if you want to. Traditional marriage. And they was a persecuted for standing up for it. They was a persecuted and got their signs a stolen, and people wouldn't tip them no more, and their revenues went down, and they had to lay off people that focus on the family, all because they got out in the streets and hollered about how they wanted to take people's constitutional rights away. Oh, brethren and sister, the Christians is a being persecuted all over America. Yes, yes. So, you know, maybe let Dr. Gary Cass know that there's somebody out here working this side of the street that makes Bill Maher's dislike for these freaks look like friendship. Because I do. I despise these religion industry charlatans, this generation of vipers. The phone we go. Hey, welcome to the program.
Good evening, Brother Bob.
Brother Luke, how are you?
I'm fine. I tell you, we really do have to write Bill Maher, because I tell you, he's just going to be damn disappointed.
Well, wouldn't you be?
Five.
Yeah, I mean, that's just bad.
And the thing of it is, I don't think they found too much they could show in that, in that they've done their reviews of it. And nobody showed he got anything wrong. He went in a few places without asking, and hey, they asked him to leave, he left. But that's about the only thing I remember being any big criticism on the movie for. You know what I mean?
Well, I mean, have you seen the film yet?
I haven't seen the whole thing. I've seen parts of it.
No, you know, there's that scene where he goes into the trucker's chapel.
Oh.
And you know, there's some people who get up and walk out, and, you know, the truck driving folks, and there's a minister there, and he asks some questions of the minister, and the minister answers the questions. But I guess that minister isn't a Christian intellectual.
From what I saw a little clip of that, and the fellow seemed awful polite about it. You know, I mean, it wasn't, you know, get yourself out of here, you know what I mean? It was, oh, well, but let's get on past that, because like I say, that's one of the things we can talk about 2 hours on that one.
That's why we have prayer meeting, Brother Luke.
Oh, I know. I tell you, I got a list. I made my list so I wouldn't forget some good stuff.
Check it twice.
Let's see. Yesterday we heard about Dr. Gupta. And I know you was upset about it, but I've got to tell you something. You ought to be happy.
It means I don't have to watch him on the TV box no more. No,
not that. He just as easily could have picked Dr. Phil.
Oh. You are the eternal optimist, aren't you, Luke?
I know. Hey, just like I say, remember, Oprah is a friend of his, so it could have been a problem. Let's see. Oh, I noticed on our media, we ain't seeing a whole lot of people talking about the fact that the Israelis have been caught using this stuff called white phosphorus.
Crickets. Nothing but crickets.
And you know what? They say, well, it can be used for a smoke screen. Yeah, it also is used as an anti-personnel weapon to kill people. You know?
Yeah, and it's used for illumination. That's what I saw.
Well, it's one of those things. I think they said it's like those are about the only two reasons. And the reason you use it like that is you shoot it up high like a flare.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? You don't shoot it at ground. They were showing it, you know, a couple of 100 feet or so off the ground where these were going off and showing the little white tendrils, you know, all heading down into the street.
Right.
But, of course, like you say, crickets. Oh, talking about Brother Jeb.
You know, do we have to?
I just say, you know, over the last couple of days, I've heard everybody talk about how good man Jeb is and all that. But I seem to remember, now, when we had this whole thing with Terri Schiavo, isn't it Jeb who was going to send the state troopers in and take her out of the hospice, except for the fact the county sheriff of the county said, if you do, you're going to have to shoot your way through the sheriff's department.
Yeah, I think you're right.
And I say people also forget this is the same Jeb who took, wasn't it the teacher's pension fund in Florida in the early 2000s and put it in some company, you know, in a good investment, some company called Enron, and almost wiped out their pension fund?
Yeah, I think you're right.
Let's see. Oh, somebody talked the other day and said, you know, isn't it amazing how apparently they was talking to President Goofy, and he was talking about that, you know, he thought one of his biggest domestic accomplishments was bringing up the Social Security reform, you know, trying to get it privatized and all this stuff. And the fellow, well, I can't remember who it was I was reading, they said, well, isn't that amazing? Now, what would have happened if it had been up there now? said most everybody had lost their stuff, and, you know, and here we'd all be sitting here going, you know. You know, said, well, you think that's a success?
You know, it's perspective, and they lack it.
I know. Oh, and the other thing with Mr. Franken, or should I say soon to be Senator Franken, it's amazing how the big thing that apparently the Wall Street Journal and the Fox are now quoting each other, but they aren't telling the fact that, oh, by the way, we're quoting an editorial, we're not quoting a news story. So some of these facts we're giving you aren't facts.
Aren't facts. Well, and of course, you know, I get the right wing sleazoid emails. Al Franken is stealing the election in Minnesota. Altogether, can us liberals the three little words? I bet you know what they are. All at once, really? 1, 2, 3. Get over it. Remember, get over it.
Oh, yeah.
It feels so good telling them to do that.
Let's see what it'd be. Norm Thorman.
Yeah. Yeah, that'd work.
But, you know, it's one of those things. It's like, you know, they said, well, here's these things. And every one of them they call out in like the, it's like it's out of a couple of Wall Street Journal editorials that every one of them has been proven wrong. Even the Republican governor of the state has said they weren't true. You know, I love this one where, well, it's been picked by these people up there in Minnesota on his board. Well, let's see. Now, two of them we know are Republicans because they were appointed by the governor. One's an independent, I believe, that Ventura put in into his office. One's a Democrat, and the fifth one, they don't know what which way he is. So, because he doesn't, he's like a state judge, and he doesn't have to, you know, list his.
Yeah, he's elected on a nonpartisan basis.
Yeah, so essentially, you have two Republicans, a Democrat, and two independents on the board, and they're complaining about it. Other one brought up, I got thinking about now in about, what is it being, about a week, 2 weeks, a little less than 2 weeks, we're going to have an inauguration.
We are.
What? Yeah, you know, we're supposed to be having a presidential inauguration. Now, I wonder if they're going to compare this to the 2000 inauguration when they had to cut away and cut the audio on their coverage when President Goofy was being sworn in.
And sworn at.
Because they didn't want to broadcast all the booing.
Right, and they cut the footage of the egg throwing too, didn't they?
Oh yeah, that's what I mean. I mean, there were some points where all of a sudden they went back to the studio.
Yeah, but see, Luke, that those were just instances of irrational Bush hating by a bunch of Democrats.
That's right. We knew it was time to start early.
Yeah. But now it's going to be our man Barack Hussein Obama. So we'll all just be bowing down and praying to him.
Oh, one thing off topic. Did you see the thing last night on the Texas Ohio State game where they kept flashing showing Matthew McConaughey down on the field?
I saw a few cutaways of Matthew McConaughey. Yes.
Well, all I know is that when we used to go to Tennessee used to go to games, one of our big people and supporters is David Keith. And David used to work. He actually worked on the sideline carrying cable, and the NCAA told him stop. He wasn't allowed on the sidelines.
Yeah, he's a pretty decent actor too.
Yeah, but I mean, he'd been a fan for you know since he was that's where he went to school, and he would work the games. He would help run cable, you know, for the coaches, you know, so he could be down on the field. And the NCAA told him to quit doing that, or they were going to have to find him or find the school for something.
Well, you know, the speaking, and I think it's wonderful that you brought this up, Luke, because I love the opportunities to sports geek a little bit. What told me the most about this was the can you remember the names of the two guys who called the game?
No.
I mean,
I have no idea.
Fox sent the fourth string to the Fiesta Bowl.
And I'm sitting there going, of the games, now, like I say, the one tomorrow night would be the big game, but I'm sitting there going, you know, this was, and it's like I say, you got, it's the only game you're covering that night. I mean.
Yeah, bring out the guns. Yeah, get your high dollar guys. Get some mileage out of them.
Well, I mean, it's like, you know, I know they probably covered something on New Year's Day or something, but guys do have a jet, and it's been 3 or 4 days. They can do two in a row.
Now, help me out here. Is the BCS title game, is that Fox or ABC?
I'm not sure. I don't have the.
Because
with me, tell me what's coming up on.
I've never had occasion to say that I hope anything is Fox. Because I don't pay that much attention to television. I hope it's Fox. I will simply grind my teeth into plowshares, or whatever the book says. If I have to listen to Brent Musburger, do his operatic football calling, we'll be back with more football, right? More commercials right after this football. You know what I mean?
I know. Well, the thing that gets to me is, all thing I know is next year, whatever bowl USC goes to play in, can we please get somebody who doesn't have to take off their USC jersey before they go on camera?
Oh, I know.
I mean, fawning over a team, I mean, that's okay. I understand, you know, you played at the team, or went there or whatever. But dear Lord, I mean, watching that game, you'd have swore that nobody else was on the field.
And after a while, it kind of looked that way, too. I mean,
I know it did. But still, yeah, I mean, you're there to cover both teams, guys.
Penn State just really didn't have any business there, but that's the deal that they've got. You know, most of the time, the Big Ten goes to Pasadena and gets its rear end handed.
I mean, there have been worse games.
Oh, there were. You know, watching Alabama get deliciously humiliated couldn't have been any. Was it ever in doubt?
Today, you saw the thing today that Mr. Rick's going to have a little problems at Georgia.
No. Oh, yeah. I did see that. Yeah, because what is it?
Stafford and Mr. Marino
and
decided to leave for the greener fields.
Well, you know what? If I had to play for that little fundamentalist weirdo, I'd take my NFL eligibility the minute it came. What? I'm going to be a ninth round draft pick? That's okay. I'm leaving Fundy Boy here.
You know, no. Well, like I say, what we get down here is the local, and then we get some stuff from CSS, and they're based out of Atlanta. So every time you get a good show or a show in there where they're talking to people, every one of them is a Bulldog fan. And you know what? Amazingly enough, you ain't heard a whole lot of them saying about how a disappointing year since everybody was down there was saying that Georgia was going to be, you know.
No, it's a Bulldog year. That's going to be a year for the Dogs.
Undefeated, you know.
Yeah.
Don't even have to play in that game. They'll just give them the trophy just so they show up. You know?
See, I really hope that WVU and Georgia never have to play again, because the coaches of those two teams are probably the biggest fundies in all of college football, and I'm scared half to death that if we did play when they went to shake hands before the game started or something, they'd just bust out, be rolling all over the field and speaking in tongues and stuff, and wouldn't be able to get them stopped.
Oh, I tell you what, you know, it's one of those things.
I mean, dig this, Luke. You'll love this. Guess who WVU opens with this fall? Now, and for the non-football people in the audience, please understand, the minute the season's over, we start talking about the next one. No, no.
Oh, sorry.
No. WVU opens with Jerry Falwell University. I don't think I've ever heard you make that noise before, Luke.
I was going to say, would the Doral Roberts turn them down?
Well, see, and you know, when you're one of those Division One AA schools that comes to open the season at a Division One school and supposedly take your, you know, come take your whooping.
Pick up your paycheck.
Yeah. It comes with a $500,000 paycheck or so.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there's all kinds of Division One AA programs that are respectable that could come get that $500,000. But the fundies.
That ain't it.
Yeah, the fundies made sure that the money goes to Jerry Falwell U. And, I've already fired off a letter. I said, you know, there won't be another nickel come from me to the Mountaineer Athletic Club until such time as you've made up, you've made up the $500,000 or so that you're going to throw down a rat hole at Jerry Falwell U.
Oh, Lordy.
But I really would love to be there with a shotgun mic. That's a shotgun mic, agent Fred, a microphone, not a shotgun. a shotgun mic, and I'd love to catch. I want to hear if the Jerry Falwell U boys use all the fun language that the other guys always use.
It would be fun. It'd be fun to run their microphone, their sideline mics through the PA system.
It would indeed.
Oh, Lord of Bay, so to speak. No, but like I say, I think I'll...
Oh, by the way, okay, I'm getting an update here. David in Tennessee says, no matter the network, one Charles Davis will be involved as far as the game call is concerned. He, a solid defensive back for the Vols in the early 90s, has turned into a fine color guy.
Well, I mean, there's a few out there here and there. You know, you were talking the other night about Eric Parsegian. See, now that brought me back to my old memories of when I was a kid, and they used to, like on Sunday morning, used to carry the Notre Dame replay.
In East Tennessee?
Lindsey Nelson.
Yeah.
And you'd watch that replay, and by the time you was done, Notre Dame might beat 50 to nothing, but I swear if you watch that replay, you'd swear they won the game. The way they cut the tape up.
See, my fondest memories are Bear Bryant with a bag of Golden Flake potato chips and a bottle of Coca-Cola.
Hey, at least Bear had a little bit of a personality. The worst one I ever saw used to be they used to carry all the I think it was Sports South or what used to carry all the coaches shows in the SEC. You never lived till you watched the Gene Stallings show. Oh,
I did. Gene Stallings, you know, he was a damn good coach.
Mm-hmm.
But he had the camera presence of silly
buddy. I thought
every
once in a while they were going to bring in the paddles and give him a shot.
Clear!
Keep going. Oh. I mean, you know, there's sometimes like with him, it's like, it's just a monotone almost. It's like, breathe, do something, you know, say a word or two louder or something.
Yeah, that was the glory of watching the Bear Bryant show as a kid. You know, it didn't matter who they were playing. The next week, Bear was scared to death of him.
Oh, yeah. I mean, he had
Well, you know,
Notre Dame coach.
Lou Holtz?
Lou Holtz thing, you know. Oh, they're just going to beat the tar out of us.
Where do you think Lou Holtz learned that?
I know.
So
I tell you what, bud, I'm at work, so I'm about to
okay.
Here. Let me let you.
Well, drive safe going home. I hear it is kind of nasty your way.
Well, it's not awful bad, but I mean, it's getting that way. So we'll just wait and see what. Of course, you know how it is. And 2 days from now, it's supposed to be sunny.
Yeah, and 72. Get the shorts and the Hawaiian shirts out. Drive careful going home, Luke.
See ya.
Bye.
Bye.
And keeping it going. Hey, welcome to the program.
Hey, Bob.
Hey, Juanita.
Oh, can I say a few things too?
Go right ahead.
I would comment on something you said earlier about the communion and communism.
Mm-hmm.
You think that's why the Southern Baptists call it the Last Supper?
Or the Lord's Supper.
I heard the Last Supper.
Now, we always had Lord's Supper once a month.
Hmm.
Now, we had Fellowship Supper every Wednesday night in the Fellowship Hall. But
oh, no, you know.
No, but we had a saltine and a glass of Welch's Concord grape juice once a month on Sunday night.
The little bitty glasses.
Yeah, you don't want to be doing that. You don't want to be doing that at Sunday morning service because that might really cost you some money in saltines and grape juice.
Yeah.
You wait till Sunday night services when nobody shows up.
But anyway.
But that may be right, because really communist.
Talk about how the Christians lived. You know, when they all gave everything and everybody shared alike.
Everything was held in common. Yes.
Right. But you get somebody, you know, that said, oh, no, that's not communism.
That's Christianity.
It is. We sure don't live that way today, that's for sure.
Yeah, because I'm guessing Rick Warren doesn't share and share alike.
he gives 95% of his income.
Yeah, and there's probably a tax-exempt trust fund out there.
But, I mean, when you sell them, you sell books and you get millions of dollars, I guess I could do that too. But anyway, one thing I wanted to talk about was this thing with the senator from Illinois. Today, they said they had a little news conference, Leader Reed.
Well, you can call him Leader if you want to. I think that's...
Well, Leader Reed, and he said that they probably would put it to a vote.
Oh, yeah, a full vote of the Senate?
Yeah. But you know what? They're going to keep on messing with that because I was listening. I heard some of the call-in show on C-SPAN this morning.
Mm-hmm.
And there's some people out there mad about, you know, all of it. And they're saying, why can't we just have another election? And, you know, they're going to keep fooling around till they get a Republican elected because so many people are mad about it. I said that would just probably be what would happen. I mean, I'm so tired of these two people. They say you don't know what to believe what they say. Him and Nancy Pelosi, and I heard she was just reelected to her position. And as far as I know, I haven't heard anything she's done yet.
Well, they did something today that I'm kind of fond of.
Well, I'm kind of fond of some of the things, but
let's see, what's this? Americans for Limited Government. Bunch of weird little libertarians is what they are.
Who said that?
No, Americans for Limited Government is all ticked at the Democrats because they're saying that... Yeah, they're saying that the Democrats have voted to silence the House minority.
Know what I'm talking about.
Included in the rules changes that were passed today was a repeal of the motion to recommit that allowed the minority to offer alternatives to controversial legislation and the elimination of the 6-year term limit for committee chairs. Vote was 242 in favor and 181 against. And the Americans for Limited Government said, unfortunately for all Americans, and this is talking about my Congressman Ray Hall, who, you know, does a whole lot for a lot of people that I really despise, namely, you know, the mountain removal industry. But on this one, he got it right. Unfortunately for all Americans, Congressman Ray Hall has decided to silence the House minority from offering any alternative to the unpopular legislation that is certain to be thrust down everyone's throat in the coming session. Budget-busting national health care, cap and trade, draconian tax increases, and more bailouts for the majority's favored industries. The American people will not be presented with any choice but to continue down the road to serfdom. Were these guys not paying attention for the last 8 years, Juanita?
Yeah.
Just asking.
Well, they're just reversing course. But don't worry, probably it goes to the Senate and it'll be...
No, these are simply the House's rules.
Yeah, but the Senate won't observe the same rules, will they?
Well, they have wildly different rules. So.
Yeah. Well, anyhow. Another thing I saw them bring up a thing about the fairness doctrine.
Oh, yeah?
You've probably seen these congressmen, one of them's white-headed. They're Republicans that are trying to keep it from being there. And I noticed it's a nonpartisan thing.
Oh, gosh, yes. It's always nonpartisan.
And I think that's their new talking point. They're going to be like, we're cooperating. Why don't they?
Oh, I'm sure. You know, I saw where, you know, that guy from... the guy from Indiana, I think Mike Pence. You said white-headed, and that reminded me.
That might have been him.
He's this little guy from Indiana who's just about, I don't know, a bucket of dirt is smarter than him. He's dumber than homemade stupid. But he called out people, and he said, he was talking about the national debt and deficits. He said, people saw the deficits and the national debt grow under President Reagan, but it was
And this is the quote, and check me on this. People can check things easily on the internet these days. Check me on this. The rate of reductions that President Reagan enacted resulted in more than a doubling of the revenues over the next 7 years. And so the folks over at Think Progress did check him on that, because this is one of those things that the Republicans love to talk about, how cutting taxes doubles the revenue, and revenue coming to the government more than doubled during St. Reagan's years.
Mm-hmm.
There's only one little problem, Juanita. It ain't true.
It doesn't even make sense that it could be true to me.
Yeah, well, right.
But of course, I'm not that brilliant, but it just doesn't make sense.
Under dollars adjusted for inflation to the constant fiscal year of 2,000 year dollars, receipts, that is revenues, only went up from $1.077 trillion to $1.236 trillion during Reagan's term in office. Now, check my math. I mean, let's take that word trillion out of there.
Mm-hmm.
But you and me, we're pretty good at our ciphering, Juanita. Let's take 1.07 and add to it 1.07.
Mm-hmm. 14.
Now, that comes to 2.14 in my book, right?
No, I didn't. I guess I didn't get
one. Add $1.07 to $1.07.
Oh, 2.14?
Yeah, $2. Yeah, so 2.14.
I missed the one.
Yeah. So in order to double revenues, it would have to be $2.14 trillion. Well, mm-hmm. It only went up to 1.2 from 1.07. That's not quite doubling, is it?
No, I don't even think that's quadrupling.
No, it's not. It's barely by a factor of, a tenth of a percent?
20% or?
Yeah, we're into the higher math now, so nobody can hold us to account. But they say this stuff and they get away with it. Hannity says this garbage all the time. And
well, that's his second nature.
Yeah, well, it is. But these little uber right wingers like Mike Pence, I mean, this guy's just one step shy of being as crazy as that. Who's that other Indiana congressman who went out and shot watermelons to prove that Hillary Clinton killed Vince Foster?
Oh, the one that had all the different hearings about
the
emails.
Yeah, that weirdo.
Yeah, who are you talking about?
I mean, these
Dan Burton.
Dan
mm-hmm.
Burton. Yeah, I think he got caught paying for an abortion or something.
I think he had a sweetie on the side.
Yeah, maybe a mistress or an illegitimate child or two.
Yeah, I think it was a illegitimate child, yeah. Back
but they do this. They do this stuff, and they don't expect to get caught. But he's stone cold busted.
But it's all right when they do it. You know, it's not for us. We can't even think about anything.
No,
we can't even look like we're thinking about something.
No.
You know,
right.
But if they do anything, it don't matter what it is. It's all right.
It's okay if you're a Republican.
You know, I've worked with people like that.
No, sure.
I've been on the job with people like that.
Yeah, where it's okay as long as they do it?
Yeah. But somebody else does it. It can be almost sometime it can be the exact same thing. But usually theirs is different. You know, when it's with them, it's different. That's a different, you know.
Right. Well, because they're the elect or something.
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah.
And then another thing I wanted to say about, I went to sleep when C-SPAN was on, and guess what I woke up to?
Oh, no. What?
Bush's farewell to the troops. Did you see any of that?
No, I'm mercifully no.
Well, Gates was what I woke up to. And, you know, Gates is the one that's going to be staying there, but you should have heard the tribute that he gave to Bush.
Oh, I kind of wish Gates was stepping, was doing his farewell too. But
pathetic. And Rumsfeld was there, you know. And of course, he was saying all this stuff about how much time that him and Laura had spent with the troops that were wounded, and how he and this one troop, this one person was, had lost his leg, and he wanted to run a race with him and had him at the White House. But you know what I was thinking about? I was talking about how he brought people to the White House, you know, lost their children. I thought, yeah, you couldn't even stop by a ditch to speak to Cindy.
Nope. No, that, no.
You couldn't do it. That wouldn't do. And, you know, all that happened before the big Katrina.
Right.
In fact, when Katrina happened, you know, Cindy and them left and went down there to help. And you know where he went? He went to California to that, or
Arizona, or something. Yeah, to John McCain's birthday party.
Yeah. Among other things. That wasn't the only place.
Right. Exactly.
But Cindy and them, they went to assist.
Well, you can't expect a Bush to actually go and, you know,
but you should hear all
useful.
Stuff that Gates was saying about him is all about him paying the surprise visits to the troops. I thought, good Lord have mercy, what a joke.
Yeah, like the surprise visit where he brought the surprise plastic turkey.
Yeah. And did you see him when he was serving? He's like plopped them potatoes down, you know. I mean,
he didn't smile.
But the thing was that it just was so pathetic. And then, of course, Bush got on and was trying to be cutesy and funny, and I turned it off, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I finally got my head cleared where, you know, where I wasn't dizzy. I have problems with being dizzy.
Mm-hmm.
And I had to wait a while before I could turn it off.
Yeah, and Bush's farewell to the troops doesn't help that any, does it?
No. But I knew it was going to be on, you know, but I thought, I don't want to watch that. And there was another one. Well, he went to the Pentagon. He had a farewell at the Pentagon. And anyway.
Can't he just wave from the helicopter and be done?
But he's just got no shame. The man has no shame.
No, well, see, I saw a query of Dana Perineal today. Where they were asking her about how, you know, how's the moving going?
Mm-hmm.
And she said, well, you know, the Bushes didn't bring a lot of stuff here. They didn't bring a lot of furniture or anything. So, and this is the part that just slayed me, Juanita. So mostly what they have are books, obviously their clothes. And then some of the things they picked up along the way on their travels as they've traveled. You know, like a few billion here and a few billion there from stealing a rock's oil.
Here, billion, there, a billion, everywhere, a billion, billion.
Yeah, you know, just a few shrink wrapped.
Oh, Mac Bushy.
Yeah, just a few shrink wrapped, a few of those Iraqi souvenirs, those shrink wrapped wads of $100 bills.
Oh, yeah.
You know, just things they've picked up along the way on their travels as they've traveled. But the part, yeah, what really slayed me was the, mostly they brought books with them. My pet goat.
Yeah.
You know, books. Bushy's books.
A is for apple. B is for boy.
Oh, A is for something, and I'd just as soon stay out of trouble and not say what it's for where George Bush is concerned.
But anyway, it's a trip, I'll tell you. It is a trip.
It is. And
did you see where she was buying a $500,000 dish set?
No, I saw where she signed a book deal or some such.
Huh?
I saw where she signed a book deal or some such.
Oh, they're not telling how much she's getting for that.
No. But she's bought $500,000 worth of dishes?
Well, I don't know if it's supposed to be for the White House or if it's something they bought. She was showing it.
I didn't know the worldwide inventory of Tupperware was that big.
Maybe it's one of those.
Well, I got a million of them tonight, Juanita. Don't get me started.
Are worth, you know, a lot of money now. You know, like a lot of old stuff is worth a lot of money. Here it is. Bush's buy. Oh, it's for the White House. Bush is buying $485,000 china for the White House. And it's on the front of Yahoo.
Oh, that's just charming, Juanita. That's going to play so well with people who have lost their jobs and had them outsourced and don't have any health insurance.
It's got gold trim on it, Bob.
Well, hot diggity.
Yeah. What you think?
Bunch of tone-deafest people I have ever seen in my life, I think.
Oh, yeah.
You know, they'll probably
unveiling the White House china in Bush's final days.
Jeez. You know, Obama will probably come into the Oval Office and find that George has left his cherished velvet bullfighter and velvet Elvis and velvet dogs playing poker paintings hanging on the wall.
Oh, I think it was the ones that they used when the Queen was here. They're showing pictures of when she was here.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, all these people are looking around. I've got the sound is down.
You know, I don't know about you, Juanita, but I'm a simple kind of guy. And I would have a hard time eating off of china that I knew was part of a $500,000 place setting.
Oh, it is beautiful, Bob.
I'm sure it is, but I couldn't put the silverware in my mouth nor to the plate for fear of scratching it. You know, oh God,
you know
I just
what? Oh my gosh. Oh Lord. They're showing pictures of it. But anyway, I'd be trying to sell it and get the money and buy me a bunch of cheap sets or buy me something.
Yeah, they'll sneak it on they'll sneak it on the eBay before my, yeah, they'll sneak it on the eBay before while nobody's watching. You know,
when I first saw it, I thought that she was buying it for herself. But I was trying to figure out who's going to pay for it because they got a thing.
Well, we are. We are.
Wow, look, they're out.
If you're lucky, if you're lucky, you might have a stake in you might have a share of a shrimp fork.
Yeah.
Or maybe one of those little finger bowl things that you're not supposed to drink out of.
I'm the type of person that if I had diamonds, I'd want to sell them and get the money and buy me cheap costume jewelry.
Well, you know
I'm
what?
That way.
You know, I think Juanita, you've probably got a sounder fiscal policy than the entire Bush family put together.
Oh, Lord.
Well, Juanita, you have yourself a wonderful evening.
You too.
Stick around. Prayer meeting's only one third over. And we'll talk soon, okay?
Okay, you take care.
Bye now.
Bye bye.
That's our View correspondent, Juanita, calling from Florida. And, hey, welcome to the program.
Hey, Bob, it's Cassie.
Hey, Cassie, how are you?
I'm doing okay. How are you?
I'm just doing great, I think. It looks like we've got all our tech problems taken care of, so we'll get through the night.
Oh, good. Yeah, I called before, and it was all static. So I hung up, and I called back, and it was fine.
Oh, okay.
But I wanted to tell you, I am taking a class. I was supposed to take a dance class, but they moved the dance class, and the dance class is now at the same time as pre-calculus, and so I can't take it. So I ended up with a class called Special Topics in Social Studies.
Yes.
And it is it's a research class on anything that we want to talk about that has to do with the United States.
I'm sorry, I lost that last part. The United States in the last 50 years?
In the last 50 years.
Okay.
And it's the research and conversation and debate and discussion and probably some essays. But today was the first day of it, and it looks so cool.
If you've got good, meaningful participation from your other classmates, I bet it'll turn out to be one of your favorites.
Yeah.
Although I'm sorry, dance lost out to pre-calculus, but I think the pre-calculus will pay off.
Well, yeah. No, I have to finish the pre-calculus, so I can do dance next year.
Oh, okay.
But yeah, I have my PE credit. Yeah, so this, I wanted to just tell you about the class.
Okay.
Also, I wanted to ask you, you said that your technical stuff is better?
It's trying to be. It's not all the way back, but we were having trouble just getting the program out at all for the last few hours, and so hopefully it's resolving.
Okay. Because I was going to ask you, you said that you talked about one of the stories I wrote last Friday.
Yes.
The article that I talked about, and I still can't find it online.
Ben really is working on that. Ben has been busy stomping out fires while barefoot. There's just been all kinds of technical problems, not just here, but in other things that Ben deals with. And he assures me that he will get it up there sooner or later. And barring that, I'll make sure that you get a copy of the MP3 file one way or the other, even if it doesn't go up on the web in the next day or so.
Okay, thank you.
Oh, no trouble, no problem at all. That was a great story. I never would have seen that had I not seen that you put it up there. The idea of child slavery still existing in this country sort of makes my head spin.
I couldn't believe it. I was like, when I read about it, you know, because I put on my Facebook profile that, you know, where it says your job, your occupation, and I think it's employer, and I put kitchen slave.
Right.
But I'm joking. And, like, this girl is working, what did it say, 15, 16 hours a day, 7 days a week?
Yeah, at 10 years of age.
And she doesn't even know that, like, that's not what she should be doing. And the neighbors saw her there all the time and didn't call the police or didn't call CPS or something.
Well, I think eventually someone did. But it was only after a couple of years.
Yeah.
Because someone finally called the police and said, I think there's a little girl living in the garage of the home next door. Because if you remember the details of the story, she was not allowed to wash her clothing in the same machine with her master's clothing.
Right.
She was not allowed to sit on the same furniture as her owners. And they made her, when the light bulb went out in the garage, they made her live in the dark. She had to wash her clothes in a bucket, hang it out to dry by the garbage. And eventually, after a few years, somebody noticed. And what I kind of wondered about, Cassie, was did they turn it in, did they initially turn in the story because they thought there was one of those vagrants living in the garage, or because they thought there was something nasty going on in the house? And that was not made clear.
There are some people who shouldn't have anything to do with kids.
Well, yeah, but did you notice the end of the story, though?
Her parents in was it India? Her parents
Egypt.
Were saying Egypt, that it was her fault that she didn't make things work out.
Well, not just that, but after the so-called slave owners did their hard time and got deported back to Egypt, that the reporter went to interview the woman, the perp, and lo and behold, a little bit later, a little barefoot girl walked in the house, so they'd just gone back to their slave-owning ways.
Because they don't see anything wrong with it.
Right. Exactly. Pretty disturbing, isn't it?
Very. Very.
And then the State Department...
Everybody should have freedom. Everybody should have rights.
Nobody should be owned.
No.
People aren't property. But there are other disturbing things in the story as well. The fact that the State Department has no idea how many human slaves may be living in the United States. And, of course, the way I look at it, you know, my answer is, and why not? We have time to make up stuff about phony weapons of mass destruction in Iraq, but we don't have time to try to find out how many 9-year-old girls are working 17, 18, 20-hour days. We don't have that kind of time.
Yeah, I mean, when they come in, aren't doesn't immigration, like, check everybody who comes in? And then shouldn't they check and see that everyone's the same?
Well, the short answer, Cassie, is no, they don't, because one of the things that was borne out in that story was that the two slavers went to the U.S. consulate in Cairo, and they took along a guy that they had paid to say that she was the little girl's father, and they got visas and, you know, right through customs.
Right, but then I guess if the government is going to be in everybody's business, then the government should check and make sure that kids are in school and not being home being slaves. Whether it's slave owners or their parents.
That would seem to be a rational decision or a rational argument on your part. And I guess in the long run, that's what happened, because the girl is 19, 20 years old now, has forgotten completely how to speak her native tongue, speaks only English, lives on her own, is getting some education, has a boyfriend, has a Facebook page, and is living something one hopes will eventually be a normal life, and wants to be in law enforcement and try to help children. So if that's, I guess that's as close to a happy ending as you can come, isn't it, with a story like that?
Except for the other little girl who's now a slave in the same house, or in the same family.
Right. There's that. So I will see to it that you get that a recording of that show.
Okay.
Look for an email. I'll just put it up on a file server so you can go and grab it. At any rate, I really do appreciate you putting that up there. And, you know, your writing is very good, and I hope you keep
Thank
at
you.
It.
Thank you. I'm going to.
Don't give
I'm
up.
Definitely going to. Okay.
All right.
I'll talk to you later.
Okay, Cassie. Take care, dear.
Bye.
Bye. That's our teen correspondent, Cassie, calling from Texas. Freckles Cassie, FreckleCassie .blogspot.com. Political Teen Tidbits is the name of her blog, and she finds some great stuff, and she brings a fresh and honest perspective to what she sees. And the story, of course, that we were discussing was the one of child slavery in the United States. And, you know, that one had a happy ending. There's a whole bunch of them that don't. Simply put, don't. And I don't know what's going on. It may be a tech problem here on this end. But I can't seem to enter the chat room, and I don't know why. But at any rate, I'll try to get back in there as soon as I possibly can. For the now, let's keep it rolling. Go to the phones. Hey, welcome to the program.
Well, I just thought I'd call in and talk about some things that crossed my mind. But before I do that, Bob, it's time for a plug.
Okay.
HeadOnRadioNetwork.com/forum.
Yes, indeed.
And please check it out. And if you guys don't know, I put up a lot of other additional ones, including a post you'll find interesting, how to build a wind turbine for $300.
Ooh.
Detailed plans. Also, the guy, I believe he'll help you out. It's a Lentz vertical turbine. So.
Oh, the vertical, you mean like the box styles?
Yes.
Those are cool.
But what he does is he's done a lot of trial and error, so that's why I specifically picked them Lentz. I mean, he's gone through at least, I think, like 12 different stages. Like, he's failed at, like, different phases in building this. So I put that up. I also have a thread, what we were talking about last week, I believe, which was the Expert Village. What I was talking about last week, the Expert Village account, the channel for YouTube where you how to do anything educational thread.
Right.
What I'm going to be doing is I'm going to be pulling out a lot of videos because there's 100,000 videos in this channel. So I'll be selecting videos maybe every week or maybe every day on how to do something.
Very cool.
So you'll see something out of there.
I learned a little bit about hat blocking the other day.
Oh, did you?
Yeah. And I've learned more about straight razor shaving. I have successfully completed, and I know people are just burning up with curiosity over this. I have successfully completed my first straight razor shave. It was a nerve-wracking experience, but I got through it with no cuts.
I can imagine. I could never do that. You're a brave person.
Well, you know, I just think of it as a sustainability issue.
If I had a straight razor and I had it on my face, I'd be afraid it would be like a scene from Hellraiser. That's me. But that's me. I wanted to talk a little bit about something that I don't hear anyone talking about, and that's a damn shame, which is the New Year's Eve shooting of this man. I don't know if you caught this story on the board. It's probably on page 2. Maybe I need to bring it up.
Are you talking about the where did it take place? Tell me where it
took place. Oakland.
Yeah.
In Oakland.
I did read about it, and I have not brought it up, and you're right. It is a damn shame.
Yeah. My problem with this story is not the fact that there isn't any coverage. It's, again, I see a silence from our supposedly quote-unquote leaders of something like this, where it clearly shows, and I want people to understand this, it clearly shows the guy has his hands up in the video, and he's just telling, we have no problems. He's handcuffed, by the way. He's freaking handcuffed. And he's put on his back, and for some reason, maybe this officer was mentally ill, he took out his weapon and just shot him in the back, and you can hear the people in the background just totally gasping like they couldn't believe it. Like there was no reason to take out his weapon first, then there was no reason to pull the trigger.
Right, and yes.
What can you say to that?
I can say the guy should be tried for first-degree murder.
Yeah, I can say that. Here's what I can say. If we're talking about change, I damn sure want someone from the Obama camp. I know it can't be the president-elect, but someone needs to say something about it. Because you look on YouTube and you look on all these blogs, and if you're listening, Obama administration, assistance, administrations, management, whatever, you should pay attention to what's on the internet right now because those people are a little bit riled up over this incident that no one's talking about it in this detail, which is pretty much clear that the guy was murdered on New Year's Eve of all nights.
Yeah, I saw a photograph of the guy, I guess, with his little baby daughter or something. And sometimes those, and this is not me making an excuse, it really isn't, David. Sometimes those stories are hard to approach because you're just filled with so much damned anger that you can't get a handle on your own perspective. You can't get a handle on your own wits, so that you just wind up sort of spraying spit at the microphone.
Well, you know, Bob, I want the change administration, someone in there, if they're probably listening to this radio station, this network, someone there needs to cover this and talk about it and discuss it and stop being afraid of saying what's actually happened, which police are murdering innocent citizens. It's not that hard to say. Say it with me, people. Police are murdering innocent citizens. Because when you start saying that, more and more people are going to pause but from pulling out their weapon at people who are handcuffed on the damn ground.
You would hope. But it's, you know, how much... What we've had, David, and I don't mean to oversimplify things.
No.
But what we've had here is an utterly lawless administration for 8 years. And it is an administration that has fostered things like this, that has fostered Blackwater guards wandering through the lower Ninth Ward in New Orleans, that has fostered policies that have led to 90-year-old ladies being gunned down by police officers busting through her door, and no consequences. No consequences. So one hopes that with the change of administration, there will be a change of tone, for what that's worth.
But frankly, I have my doubts.
I know. I hope so. I hope it's not a case of classism that this incoming administration has, because if they do, they're going to learn real quick that that's not going to play in America. And all I can say on this is the fact that, you know, the responses that you're seeing on the internet are enough to warrant a response, just to give some heads up to the family that, hey, I paid attention to your story. And maybe that's what someone in the Obama camp should do.
You know, the I've made it clear I have real misgivings about the Attorney General nominee for reasons that have nothing to do with the misgivings of the Republican Party. They're all concerned about whether or not he ever shook hands with Rod Blagojevich or had anything to do with the Mark Rich part, and I'm concerned with the fact that he represented a company that was paying terrorists. But at any rate, he's supposed to be a real law and order guy. And this business with appointing Leon Panetta to be the director of the CIA has to do with the fact that Leon Panetta does not have the taint of torture on his hands. So with all that, that presents at least some degree of hope. Although this being the presidency and toward the end of the first decade of the 21st century, any hope must always be tempered by a degree of pragmatism and reality. But I'd like to hope that this will be taken seriously. And frankly, I'd like to hope that this will be taken up by the Civil Rights Division of the United States Department of Justice.
Mm.
I mean, if anything is suitable for it, this would seem to be it.
I hear what you're saying, and you know, it's everything's connected in this call that I'm saying, because it's almost like a long theme of where is so and so, and regarding the Tennessee ash spill, I have one that's going to be a aluminum bat to the gut when I say his name. Well, where is Dennis Kucinich?
On the ash hole, I don't know. I do know that he has that he has issued press releases in the last couple of days, talking about holding hearings regarding some of the more blatant human rights abuses currently underway in the Middle East. Maybe it's not on his radar. It should be, but maybe it hasn't been put there.
You know, Bob, I'll tell you what really concerns me, and I hope progressives understand this who are in the political Washington scene. When you have websites and when you have blogs and journals and you don't update them for 3 weeks, I was looking at the Kucinich site, you got to realize something happens every day. And the phrase that I can add to sum this up is, if you're going to be on that progressive team, realize you're going to work to the bone if you're part of that website for Congress or whatever. You're going to work to the bone. It's that simple. And when I see Kucinich's site, and the last update they had was December 16th, I just shake my head, because I know on like 8,000 other Republican sites, they're updating every hour.
Way too much truth in that. And that's part and parcel, David, of a larger argument that I've made for years about us not understanding the importance of persistent and ongoing communication.
Mm-hmm.
We don't get it. We don't understand that messages have to be out there on a daily basis.
Well,
we think that we can just, you know, we can just put it out there, and that'll be fine, and people will remember it. Well, it doesn't work that way.
Mm. The reason I brought this up is because I was wondering if there was anyone you could contact. Because Kucinich, I mean, as sad as it is, he's like one of the only ones I can think of who has any kind of influence, or who would cover this if he knew about it. I'm guessing he doesn't. Because my pessimistic side, I don't want to think that he does know about it, and he just hasn't said anything on it. I think the problem is when you can't, you know what it is, Bob? You can't be reactive in 2000. You can't just sit there and watch the car accident. You have to be proactive. There needs to be something. I mean, I was going to ask you if there was any way you could get in contact with Kucinich's office and maybe have him on the program and talk about it, at least let him know, or maybe talk with some of the people involved. I did finally watch that video of the kayak going upstream, and the fact that the policeman's, good Lord.
Officer John B. Neal, badge number 107. Yeah.
Yeah, the police stopping this woman and telling her that she can't be in private waters because she's violating the water space, and just the irony of that, violating the water space, and he's surrounded by
toxic goo. Yeah, it'd be hard not to look at him and go, you really didn't just say that, did you?
I bet you they flipped out when they saw that video was on YouTube. And I'm surprised, you know, that's another thing. I'm surprised that no... Okay, I take back on what I said about that site that I said that didn't cover it. I'll put it to you this way. Yeah, they do have someone on the blog covering it, but you know, it would be nice, and they did put it way in the corner, which I'll give them props and golf claps and applause for that. But the fact that you don't have, again, it goes back to visuals, the fact that you don't have a picture or a still from this video up there, I don't know. That kind of concerns me because we're, like I said, we're a visual nation, and we need something to for reference for something like that. And God knows, we need some serious references on this Tennessee Asheville. And thanks a lot to the people who made that footage available. And wow, how brave are those people? I mean, I would be worried about a boat coming to ram me.
Well, among other things, there is a deadline tomorrow, David.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you've seen this. It showed up. John Wathen made me aware of it, as did Sandra Diaz. There's a deadline coming up tomorrow. They're trying to raise money, and it's $500 per person. Trying to raise money to test for toxicity now in people who were living at that sludge spill. And it's a desperate race against time. And they're nowhere near having the money that they need to pull this off. And there's a lot of where is questions that could be asked right about now. Because there are people out there that are part of this movement who have an abundance of money who could write a check. Just write the check and make it happen.
You know, Bob, that brings an interesting tie-in back to the where is, because... Again, this has really got to me in this point. It reminds me of similar to how I'm a member of Blockbuster Online and they don't have a phone number on their site anywhere. which brings
well,
me
more to... and more, have you noticed that people don't put up a phone number? They don't want.
There is no excuse for that. I mean, especially if you're going to.
They don't want to be contacted, David.
I know, especially if you're going to pretend to be for the working person, or for the American citizen. And I bring this up with Al Gore's site. I went on Al Gore's site, and I said, okay, let me see if I can find the contact number. And I hope Al Gore's people are listening, because man, oh man, do you need that contact number on there when you have an incident like this? And yes, you should be paying attention to it. I don't care if it has anything to do with. Well, it probably does have something to do with global warming. Come to think of it. We just don't have the direct links in front of us right now.
Yeah. Now, bear in mind, for those who are interested in following this, and I highly recommend it,
yeah.
At 10 a.m. tomorrow, which is Thursday the 8th of January, at 10 a.m. Eastern Time, the Senate will convene a hearing on the dam burst, the toxic deluge in East Tennessee, and it is supposed to be running on C-SPAN. So we might start to hear some things about it, and it will feature TVA Administrator Tom Kilgore,
who will get up and, I'm sure, explain how no one could have imagined that this would ever have happened.
Well, you know what? I'll put a mention of that on the board regarding that.
Please do, yes.
And I'll put a mention of what is the donation site? I'll look into that.
I've got some weirdness going on here. I've just lost all internet to my main production computer that I use during the show. But I believe you can go to UnitedMountainDefense.org and find out about it.
I guess the one thing that really really makes me go, just keep asking why, is you have someone like Al Gore who's talked to a lot of people that I respect, and I've listened to his books, and I respect Al Gore to a degree for what he says, but I start to look sideways when you go on someone's website, their official website, and you can't find a contact number anywhere.
Yeah, I know. There's a couple of those that I've run across from time to time. I've got two pet peeves. One of them is not being able to find real, meaningful, pick-up-the-phone contact information.
Right.
And the other is websites that start audio running the minute you...
My God. We had to stop that. We did that on our website. That was just...
It's terrible. Awful. It's terrible.
Yeah.
And for somebody who likes to run audio and play sound bites and stuff like that, like me, it's just, you know, even the American Family Association, they used to turn on their little weird right-wing Fundy broadcast the minute that you clicked on there, and even they had to stop it. I imagine they got complaints. It's bad manners, isn't it?
There's one problem after the other in all of this. We can only fix.
You gotta bail the water out before you can patch the hole.
Yeah. You gotta bail the water before you patch the hole. Well, Bob, I just wanted to call in.
Well, I appreciate all that, and I appreciate the plug. Everybody, go to headonradionetwork.com/for. Is it forum or forums?
/forum.
Forum, singular. Yeah. Okay. Headonradionetwork.com/forum.
And I'll have there's a lot of topics on there that I haven't mentioned that are on there. We have a few other people who are posting. I believe we've got them inspired to do so, and I inspire other people. I hope other people are inspired to do so as well, and you can rest assured that you'll probably be seeing a lot of other posts. And I have another idea, Bob, which is this for the people who are paranoid about signing up on message boards or they don't like it. I was thinking the next time I call, I was going to have a select email and any topics or headlines that people have just seen that are sitting on their computer, they can send it to me, and I'll post it on the board for them.
Brilliant. Wonderful. All right.
So,
well,
I don't think we have any excuses anymore, people. We don't have any more excuses. You're going to see a lot of more posts. This is just the beginning, and I hope to see everyone contribute. And, again, headonradionetwork.com/forum. Check it out.
Great. Thanks, David. Take care.
No problem. Bye.
Bye now. And by the way, I messed up. Going right back to the phones. I messed up Cassie's website. It is freckles.cassie.wordpress.com. Freckles, F-R-E-C-K-L-E-S, Cassie, C-A-S-S-I-E, .wordpress.com. That's where you'll find political teen tidbits and Cassie's takes on the news of the day. Hey, welcome to the program.
Bob, hey, it's Sandra.
Sandra, what's up?
Listen, am I seeing or reading right, but Obama's up there talking about entitlement programs again? I mean, you know, the debt.
That bugs you too, doesn't it?
Well, it bugs me because it's like the discretionary spending is mostly geared towards the military. Why don't anyone? I mean, I just was like, are you kidding me with this again? They try to pretend that our discretionary spending, half of it is for military, right?
Every bit of it.
Budget you look at, that's what it is. And it's like, what the hell? You know, I feel like I'm in some sort of upside down world. It's like,
yeah, well, discretionary spending for the military is half the problem. But the real problem is, you know, poor people wanting too much food.
Yeah, no, that's the thing. It's like, are we going there again with this whole canard that we need to get these out-of-control entitlement programs? I mean, these people, they are determined in whatever form they take to end any sort of safety net in this country, be it because we're in debt now or anything, but this military will just explode. This man is appointing more military people to civilian positions than any time ever. Have you noticed that?
I've seen people going places that it makes me nervous.
Right, right. But anyway, I just was wondering because I was reading.
Well, is this a matter of him having to prove that he's not really a closet communist Muslim or something? Is that what this is about? Or is it more likely the case, Sandra, that we may have projected a lot of liberal ideas and liberal hope onto him?
Oh, no.
That wasn't there in the first place? I don't mean you, but I mean generally.
I'm assuming that's the case, but I'm not even speaking in terms of that. I'm talking in terms of fiscal rationality. It's like even if you attack those two entitlement programs, they still don't approach the type of spending that goes on with our security state.
Well, I remember the first time Dennis Kucinich ran for president, which was 2004, and he said that we could, just by balancing, by making the Pentagon be a little bit more just a little bit more responsible, that we could fund universal health care for every American. And I think that's part of what you're talking about.
Well, and also, you know, then this is never spoken of in our general discourse as Americans. We don't hear every day that this is a garrison state with over 700 facilities around the world, right? And you cannot have a democracy and an empire, you know. They don't work. And I not that I thought that Obama was – we've had this conversation since the time I started calling here. You know, I'm not no fool, and you're not either. So I've never been sort of thinking – I'm forever telling my friends, oh, listen, don't get too worked up about Obama. He's not what you're thinking he is. So I'm not under that illusion. But I did think that staring collapse in the face would bring some rational thought to the process. That's all I'm saying. I'm talking about – at a point where are you going to sacrifice the rest of the safety net? What do you get in return out of that, Bob?
Well, it seems to me like you get a disaster down the road.
Right, right. This is what I'm saying. This is what I'm talking about, rational. Now, who cares if he's, the centrist stuff is a joke because it only represents entrenched interests. You see what I'm saying?
Yes, I
That's
do.
That's a load, which I know people can argue about that. But anytime they say centrist, that's just representing some other interest that the powerful...
Well, centrist in this country right now, Sandra, means what? Hard right?
No, well, that's what I mean. I mean, it's just no position is without politics. And I'm done with this middle-of-the-road crap. It don't exist. Whatever view is being shoved down our throat has some interest lined up behind it. And I'm sick of it being portrayed otherwise. You know what I mean?
Yes, I do. And when I said disaster down the road, I was thinking in terms of, look, I saw the story earlier today about how, you know, federal budget in 2009 will approach $1.09 trillion. It's a budget it's a budget busting record.
No, I mean, it's all that stuff is true, but I thought we were getting past the monetarist claptrap. You understand what I mean?
Yeah.
Well, that died. Even Friedman said that was a bit of a mistake before he croaked, the bastard, right? Yet here we are again. Oh, shit.
What? No, you're still there.
Oh, I think my phone went off. Hello?
No, I think maybe you just pressed a button with your face or something. I do that all the time. It drives me nuts.
Oh, God. Well, anyway, no, I don't know. I'm just sort of kind of more gobsmacked by this. You know, it's like, you too? That's all I can say when I read. And then I hear he's appointing Dennis Ross as envoy.
Yeah, et tu, Barack?
Come on.
I know.
Anyway, I know every time I call now, I'm just bitching about Obama, but I'm just sort of.
Well, I want to. On the one hand, Sandra, I want to give the guy a chance. He has not, hasn't made an executive decision yet, and frankly, he's been treated like trash by the outgoing trash in the White House. You know, this business with having to dummy up an overnight visit by John Howard, the not Australia's prime minister anymore guy.
Yeah, the one that they would like to run up a tree in Australia, as far as I can tell.
I know John Fox bears him no love.
Yeah, well, no.
So they did not, but I mean, this just amazes me. They denied the use of a couple of rooms at Blair House to Barack Obama so that his kids could get started in school okay. They denied the use of a couple of rooms at Blair House to Barack Obama and his family on the pretext that, well, everything's booked solid. We really can't. You know, we use that for a lot of official state functions. Well, you're just not going to be able to move in. And then after that, they book this appearance by the former Australian Prime Minister on an overnighter and book him into Blair House so that they can come up with the ex post facto justification for why Obama couldn't occupy any space there.
And dumping the millions that it's costing to secure Obama and his family, too. I mean, these people are so spiteful. Or I don't know what it is. It's just too much.
It makes me nuts. So on the one hand, I've got a lot of sympathy for him, but on the other, you know, I would be untrue to myself and untrue with to everybody else to say, well, you know, everything he's doing is just brilliant. You know, this stupidity with Dianne Feinstein, and now he has to apologize to her.
Yeah, no, you know, screw her. You know, and it's just sort of like, are you kidding me with that? If he's overlooking those two, to me, that is a good sign that he's acknowledging that those two, her and Rockefeller, were probably up to their necks with the torture, right?
Well, right, and I mean, everybody knew about it, okay? And you know, again, I noted last time we talked, I noted what Bart Kopp had said, and you know, he's just a common sense guy in Oklahoma. He says he's got a modem, a smart mouth, and the truth. But you know, he said, "Look, if Pelosi and Reid and Rockefeller and Feinstein and all that were in on the torture gig, we got to bust them too."
No, exactly. And I'm not too sure if that's what's going on. I mean, one can only imagine. But if that is the case with those appointments, then you know, more power to them. You know, and she should really just shut the hell up. Where was all this rancor when these people was breaking the law every other day?
Well, there wasn't any. That's the short answer.
And it's just a joke. It's like, oh, wait a minute. We're going to come up with this Reid and his, well, I don't work for Obama. I'm going to separate.
What in the world does that mean?
No, but it's like, you know what, fool? You should have been separating the powers from day one. It's like, I hear that, and I just think this is like a bad...
Oh, but see, Harry's found his spine when it comes to dealing with Democrats. It's just the Republicans that scare him so bad he loses control of himself.
Said, we're going to have to work with Republicans. I mean, I heard this quote I was reading on The Hill, and I just felt sick reading the quote. It was like the most sycophant sort of...
Are we the only people who know any American history, the people who listen to this network?
I don't know.
I mean, you know, the Congress of the United States passed, and I'm sorry, I bring this up every now and then, you know it doggone good and well, but it has to be brought up. The Congress of the United States and the Democrats therein passed Social Security in, what, 1935?
Yeah.
And they did it without a single Republican vote.
Yeah, and it's the only way they could have done it.
Right.
Let's be honest. Let's just say what was going on. He lucked out and got that strong majority, and that's when that shit went through. So please spare me with this. We need to coddle and work with these Republicans. I mean, what the hell?
What do you want to work with them on?
I just don't get it.
I mean, Wayne made the point last night that it's possible we could sit down and come to some sort of an agreement with somebody like, say, Susan Collins from Maine or Olympia Snowe from Maine.
Right.
And that might be true. But, you know, we're going to work with that Osborne goober from Oklahoma or Mitch McConnell. We're going to work with them. Yeah. How? What are you going to get done working with those crooks?
No, I mean, it's just this quote. I wish, yeah, anyway, it's just, I listen to Reed and I'm thinking, what's happening? I heard that he's going to have problems with his reelection. Hopefully he'll lose. I'm so done with him. He's just too much.
But yet
I don't understand all the sequence-ness of with the Republicans. Didn't they win?
You couldn't tell it by Harry Reid's behavior.
It's just bizarre. I don't know. But I mainly call just because I just, you know, was wondering if you know that whole budget thing. If it's sometimes I feel like I'm the only person who realizes the expenditure on the defense. You know. Which I know I'm not, but it's just sort of sacred cow.
Yeah, it's certainly not a sacred cow to me. The money we wasted a day in the Pentagon could do a lot of good elsewhere in the country and in the world. Buy a lot of food.
It just seems is exasperating even discussing it. But you should. Did you get my email?
Yes, I did.
But also Cynthia McKinney's been on Al Jazeera. She's being interviewed now, actually.
Oh wow! Well, that'll be hard. That'll be hard to find in America.
Well, no, you can go to their website, the English language one, and they have a real player that runs the network.
Right.
Yeah. Anyway, so I've been sort of, don't come get me. But I've been sort of watching that because you get a different take. Certainly on this Gaza stuff, man.
Well, there's
she's being interviewed by them, so I don't even. Has she been interviewed in this country?
Not, but no. Matt Lauer was busy with Ann Coulter today.
I know.
Make sure your head feel like it's just going pop.
I guess that's...
And what's more, Matt Lauer didn't just interview Ann Coulter, he fawned over her some more.
Yeah, no.
I watched the video, and it was just gross.
Ew, I don't understand.
Our buddy David in Tennessee wrote and said, honest to God, she's gotten skinnier and creepier and more skeletal, and she's putting on the eye makeup at this point to where she's looking a lot like Cleopatra.
Oh, God, no, but didn't she have her mouth wired shut, blessedly, for a minute?
Yeah, she did. I mean, that time sure went by in a hurry, didn't it?
It went by real fast, and there she is, back with a vengeance. I mean, please. Do you know Morrissey?
Yeah, oh, yeah.
He has that record, Margaret on the Guillotine. Do you know that?
I've heard that, yeah.
Well, that's for her. She is a nightmare. Hey, listen, I suppose that's it. You know, I don't know. I always feel like I just sort of... It's just almost exhausting having these little rants with you. I should probably take some caffeine.
I don't mean to be that way.
Well, no. I mean, I wish I had something amusing to talk about, but I'm just sort of...
Well, see, that's the thing. It's crazier than hell, but we do manage to find some way in our common frustration to at least realize that we are in the fun house.
Well, yes, and I want to really sort of, back up a bit on Obama, because I do appreciate that the man hasn't been sworn in yet. But he's the one putting his, I'm going to sort everything out, on display, so.
Yeah, I know.
I don't know.
Right, well, there's a conflict of emotions there. You know, I want to feel like we're getting FDR.
No.
And not Gerald Ford.
Well, FDR was sort of, wasn't he kind of pushed along to that point, though?
Yeah, well, I don't think he would have been as liberal as he was had the economy been in any kind of decent shape. No.
No, and I mean, we can say that, and we can hopefully sort of look, because did you see what they're projecting for unemployment? Up to 9%.
Yeah.
Which really means like 19%. And
once you've factored in the, what are they called? Discouraged workers that they don't count anymore?
And also the way they've reconfigured the stats in government. Yeah, they.
Well, what happens if you take the military out of the unemployment numbers? Like, they didn't used to be included?
Oh, yeah, we'll see. So basically we're looking at a 20% sort of unemployment rate. And, at the high point of the Great Depression, it was 30.
Mm-hmm.
So I have to say, I'm a bit, it's kind of scary.
It's a lot scary. It is a whole bunch scary. And I don't, I guess you saw, Sandra, that the market went in the tank again today.
Well, okay.
245 points based on, dumped based on a diminished earnings report from Intel and a dip in the price of a barrel of oil.
Well, you know, they're going to, who knows what's going to happen when they get that 700,000 job loss report on Friday. Have you heard that?
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
the number there.
Our Bushy's going out with a bang.
You know, listen, I had to reread that. I said, are you kidding me? It scared me. 700,000 in 1 month?
Yeah, you're getting to be of a certain age, and you wonder if it's time for the bifocals. And did you accidentally add a zero to that? And you kind of squint your eyes and look, no, that's 700,000.
Right. I just thought that stopped me cold, you know. So
700,000?
Yes, well, that's almost a million people in 1 month, man. Come on. That's scary. And, you know, California, they about to start issuing the IOUs the second time in its history. That is since 1850, Bob.
1850, yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, that's back when California was a Spanish language state, isn't it?
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So we're talking, you know, so there's big problems up here. And, you know, I look at that actor and I think, Lord, it's really over your head now, ain't it, fool?
Can't write any more hot checks.
Jesus Christ. But anyway, so on that happy note, I'll say goodnight.
All right, Sandra, take care.
Bye.
We'll talk to you soon. Bye. In the economic wonderland that is Arnold's California, that's our buddy Sandra. And I'm sorry, it does get me down when I see things like stuff about discretionary spending and entitlement programs, and because, you know, I can just hear all that Reaganistic business about welfare queens. When in fact, if you, and you know, this is, I will, now bear in mind, I will defer to our resident economist, who is Mark Levine, on this issue. But if you want to stimulate an economy, the best way to stimulate an economy is to get people spending money. And if you want people spending money, you don't want them spending it all in one place. In other words, you don't want to give the millionaires an extra couple of million so they can go out and buy a new Bentley, because they all go to their local Bentley dealer. You want people buying a lot of stuff. You want to stimulate the economy? You know what you do? You extend unemployment benefits so that people who are unemployed can do a little bit more than just keep the lights on and maybe the mortgage paid. Let them have enough to buy stuff. Because, after all, it's not like they weren't working in the first place. There's this notion in America that we will treat our working class as disposable or perhaps expendable, or we'll call you when we need you to turn the engine of the economy. GM workers, auto workers, GM, Chrysler, Ford, yeah, they have a 30-day unpaid enforced furlough. It's called a furlough every year. They go 30 days without pay. Yeah, I don't know how it is to be a government and be able to just write hot checks for 30 days if you need to. But I can tell you that among working stiffs, it doesn't work very well. And power companies and mortgage companies and lenders and credit card companies and cable companies and phone companies and internet companies are not very forgiving on not making the nut in a given month and say, well, you know, I'll be back to work next month. Too bad, sucker. We're cutting you off. Working America teeters on the brink of disaster in this country. You know, Intel really did say that they've got significantly lowered earnings forecasts. And today, this Wednesday, the 7th of January, 2009, the economy, the market went in the tank over that. of course, the market goes in the tank whenever, you know, a Wall Street banker sneezes. And I'm really not overstating that. When you think about the foo-frog, and there was one, I've seen more than four stories about it, about Steve Jobs. Now, this guy is Apple, okay? Every year, Steve Jobs goes out to AppleCon or AppleQuest or AppleFest or whatever the thing is, the big Apple annual meeting. And he brings out some new gizmo, and everybody goes, ooh, that's sweet, because there's some neat stuff. Well, this year, there was a crisis, because Steve Jobs is almost as thin as Ann Coulter, and in the year 2004, he supposedly beat pancreatic cancer, and he announced that somebody else would come in and say all the stuff and not be bringing any neat new gadgets or gizmos. And it spawned an absolute wave of gut-bending terror. Because a guy has lost too much weight.
And the investors are afraid that he may not head the company anymore. Through a spokesman, Mr. Jobs stated he's never felt better and that a hormonal imbalance has been discovered, which will now be treated but may take as long as early spring to bring him back fully to normal.
Oh, well, okay. Yeah, so Apple stocks are better. That's amazing that any one company would be deemed such a cult of personality, and it's certainly not limited to Apple. Can you imagine Ford's stock going in the tank? It was announced today that Henry Ford is a raving anti-Semitic goon. Everybody knew that. The Dearborn Independent published the most hateful anti-Semitic screeds in the United States, and Ford stock was just fine. But now in this sort of rarefied, not anything approaching real economy in which we live, announcing that the CEO sneezed can ruin a quarterly earnings report and take the market down 300 points in a day. So going back to what I said, yeah, I defer to Mark Levine on this, because he does know a lot more economics than I do. But if you pump money into the sector of the economy where people will go to their local merchants and spend it, you've got a reasonable chance of making the economy go. And every economist who is worth a dime says, when you're in the middle of one of these things like what we're in, call it what you will, that you have to spend your way out of it. You just do. And that when you spend your way out of it, you worry about inflation later. In an act of sublime humor and sublime irony, Joe Francis of Girls Gone Wild fame and Larry Flint of Hustler are declaring that the porn industry has gone limp in the economic downturn, and that they, being a vital part of the American economy, need a bailout too. And the statistics are out now about the Bushies, dim leaders, little bailout plan back last spring and summer. About 20-30% of the bailout checks went to the porn industry. People, you know, re-upping their memberships at SpankMeIveBeenNaughty.com. No, really. So you really can't beat that kind of stuff. So we're coming up on the final hour of the program, and I'll tell you what I need to do. I wish I knew what the hell was wrong here, but I got nothing for an internet on the production computer here that I use to do the show. And I really can't get by without one, can't play a song, can't play diddly. So what I need to do is go dark for about 5 minutes while I check everything and make sure that everything works and reboot the machine and find out what in the world is wrong. So please bear with me if you don't mind. I'm not going to play a song because I can't play a song. Can't play anything because it all has to come out of this computer. And, you know, we do the best we can, and we can't always, you know, run out and buy new stuff because we operate on the last frayed thread of the last frayed shoestring. Because we promise you we'll bring you the programming. And lately there hasn't been a lot of money for frivolities like technical stuff. So I'm going to go dark for a little bit. I will be back as quick as I possibly can. And in the meantime, you know, line up your phone calls if you want to. And, well, okay, John Fox, you want to take over for a couple of minutes, and then I'll let you know as soon as I'm rebooted? That would work. Isn't this cool? Guy in Sydney, Australia says, I can be on in 60 seconds! I love and I hate the technology at the same time. That's the part that I love. John Fox, of course, being the quintessential host from 9 p.m. to midnight Sunday nights Eastern time here on this part of the globe and this hemisphere, this end of the globe, half the globe and end of the globe, quarter of the globe, 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern time with All Foxed Up on Sunday nights. I'm told I screwed that up twice in a week. I have scheduled myself to be flayed 50 times with a handful of wet linguine. And I'm going to like it. You're going to deserve it, too. So, John's up and going. I'll go dark. John, you take over, and I'm rebooting. Be right back.
Yeah. All right. Bob's giving the computer a licking.
How you going, everybody? John Fox down here in Sydney. I believe you should have me. And I'm seeing no buffer problems from my end. So hopefully Ben and Peter and Bob will be able to figure out what is going on over there. And I tell you, there can be absolutely nothing more frustrating than when the connection just doesn't want to play ball. And we've all been there. It's kind of like part of the whole thing that we do here. and, you know, so, hey, you know, this is, you know, I'm hearing Bob going, I got to reboot and I got no music. And I'm sitting here, you know, what am I going to do? I'm going to say, I'm going to take over because we can. You know, we might not have any money. We might not have any budget. But we seem to be able to pull this off all right. but I guess, it's that thing, jump on air. Okay, what you going to talk about now, John? You got there. But, you know, David from Maine recently has been, you know, doing his promotion by sledgehammer routine recently, which I dig. I think it's hysterical. And it's only because he seems to be as kind of passionate about what we do as we are, and as many of you are. And so there's going to be some stuff going on with the web presence over the next couple of weeks. I guess I'll take this opportunity, since I didn't have anything else prepared, to let you all in on what's going on. You know, because, I mean, I've said this before, and it kind of didn't happen, but, you know, that's development for you. But we're actually kind of getting on all eight cylinders, to use an old automobile euphemism. And let's see how cold this coffee is from about an hour ago. So what's going to be going down is there's going to be a huge new kind of community going online. We're turning the whole thing into a whole activist social networking platform. And this is going to take probably, I would think, almost 4 weeks from now to get fully implemented and up. And, you know, and our web presence has needed some work. And we've been following along an open source project that we're basing this on, that, as things do, what's great about community, I mean, you know, the open source community is like so socialist in nature. Ben and I were kind of talking about it before. You'll get guys out there that, you know, will demand on building everything from the ground up. And there are these great systems out there that you can make do whatever you want to do, but there's like hundreds of people all around the planet working on it. And I'd much rather be involved in the community and everybody get to share the greater glory than just sit there and go, look, I did this. So it turned in, you know, it started one guy. This guy, Andy Peatling, had an idea, and a bunch of people thought it was so good that they decided to pay him to develop it and lead this thing. And it's become something, you know, it's going to be like a cross between, you know, a full-on blog. All of you are going to be able to get one of these. A full-on blog crossed with, like, a MySpace and Facebook, and interfaced with the whole, you know, network streaming, the chat room. You can create groups. You can have friends lists, you know, the whole thing, plus internal messaging. There's a little post kind of talking about it over at the forum. But, you know, we got some – it's been a long time coming, but, you know – as volunteer organizations go, that's sometimes how it works. I'm really excited because, you know, I thought we were going to be at this point a long time ago, but we're finally there. And so there's a lot of stuff going on behind the scenes, and all the regular folks will be involved. And the other thing that and I'm going to put this call out. If there's any listeners out there, I mean, this is great because this is Bob's show. If there's any listeners out there that are word press savvy people in regards to themes and style sheets, I want to hear from you. Because one of the things that we will need, and I would like to kind of put into the community as well, is, you know, just like MySpace, you get to select your color scheme or your theme and that kind of thing. Well, I want to find people that have done WordPress stuff before, because that's what this is based on. And if they'd like to help develop from a framework that I'll give them, custom themes that users can select from. So if there's any WordPress people, or if you're just a good CSS and PHP person, you'll know what to do. Let me know. Contact me, John, J-O-N, at headonradionetwork.com. I'd be really interested in it. But I'll tell you what, I've got my phone line going. So while Bob's still doing his thing, and I don't see any messages from him yet, full-on reboot and debug could take a little while, we'll open up my phone line. So this is on your dime only, I'm sorry. If you got something to get off your chest, you know, you want to kind of bring me back to what the hell's going on today, you can ring in 304-574-7811. Ooh, I saw some of that buffer on my end. So let's play. I'm going to play a little bit of a track and get myself something to drink, and that's not an ice-cold coffee. And we'll come back and we'll see what we can get happening here while we give Bob a bit of time. Let's do some Springsteen. Cadillac Ranch.
We'll be right back.
everybody. I'm back. I needed to get a coffee. We had to do that. Let's not have dead air time. So we've done that. And, you know, now that I've kind of gotten here, I started thinking, oh, yeah. The Panetta thing. Okay. Panetta? I actually think my opinion of this, is Obama looking at Feinstein with all her, isn't it her husband who's got all the military contract crap going on and whatnot, and Rockefeller, and going, hey, bite me. It's the first very, very unsubtle bit of spine that I've seen him pull. I think it was a beautiful bit. What are they going to do? Seriously, what are they going to do? You wouldn't stand up. You bent over every time the Bush administration, wanted you to. Sorry, we're breaking dead clean of all that. And I understand the argument about having an intelligence guy, but I actually think Panetta can do pretty good here. And I don't know if you've... Kirsten Lyer says O'Reilly from tonight, and his whole talking points memo thing is, we're in serious danger now, people. We don't have an intelligence guy in this position. Oh, it's going to be bad. And they get all these military talking head paid wankers on there saying, going, oh, be scared. Be scared. Oh. And O'Reilly goes off on this whole thing, sitting there going, and taking the tools away that have kept us safe, and you're just going, you are such a liar! Extraordinary rendition techniques, otherwise known as torture. Don't work. Never did. So because you were doing them, didn't suddenly make it that torture is effective. In fact, any research into the subject has always proven that it ends up getting you more false information than you normally would. Because an innocent guy having his toenails ripped out will say, yeah, I did it, just stop! I don't think it's that complicated. So I wonder how, let's see, Bobby's trying to get to me here. Okay, we're going to swap back to Mr. Kincaid. So just stand by. Going to put on some music here. And Bob will take over soon. Thanks, folks. See you later.
Tonight's final hour of Head On begins next. 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. That's 1-877-443-2366. Here's Bob.
Well, as they say in various and sundry quarters, is this thing on? I will wait and see. Hoping for the best. be joyful. Oh, come out screaming. Nah, come out frustrated. Thanks, guys. It's on, Bob.
Oh, my God.
Now let's just hope the inner tubes hold up. Let's see. When last we spoke, we were having a conversation among other things with Sandra about the fact that the Pentagon budget contains half of all the discretionary spending in our budget, half. With that kind of money being in use, then you'd think that maybe we could get a discretionarily hire somebody to pay attention to, you know, form letters. Form letters. The Army was forced to apologize today after sending approximately 7,000 letters to family members of soldiers killed in Iraq or Afghanistan, which mistakenly addressed them as, are you ready for this? John Doe. They went out last month. They went out last month to inform survivors of fallen soldiers about private non-governmental organizations, quote, that offer gifts, programs, and other assistance to families that have lost soldiers. The Chief of Staff of the Army is General George W. Casey, Jr., and now he is busy sending a personal letter, please, to all the families who, the 7,000 families who received the letters addressed as the result of a printing error. Really, it was a printing error. The devil, you say. A printing error. This is the part of the program where I don't engage in gratuitous swearing. I really, really don't. 7,000 letters to family members of soldiers killed in the Iraq occupation or the nightmare in Afghanistan, and they're addressed to John Doe. Kind of makes you wonder if we're hiring out some prison labor or something for this sort of stuff, doesn't it? John Doe. It's just a mistake. Mistakes happen. Have you ever seen how a military honor guard handles the flag at a funeral? How the flag is stretched tight as it's lifted off the coffin, how it is carefully folded so that the edges are as straight and tight as they possibly can be, and they are then folded one corner over another until they form that perfect triangle that shows the field of stars, at which point the flag is then marched to the person receiving it, perfect attention paid, a salute that is absolutely razor precise presented, to the bereaved as a matter of honor.
You know what? This is a digital age. This is a computer age. And the things that one does digitally and on computers that relate to the dead deserve the same kind of attention as that which is paid to the mark of honor bestowed upon the family of a fallen member of our military. Not a printing error. You know, I don't care what the excuse is. You don't have printing errors with regard to the people who gave what Abraham Lincoln called the last full measure of devotion. You just don't, they are not permitted. They are not acceptable. This is the kind of thing where everybody from Army Chief of Staff General George W. Casey on down just says, sorry, I screwed up. I don't need to be in this job. Goodbye. It really is the only thing you can do. For heaven's sakes. Now, this is, of course, prayer meeting night. And we have to go over to another military story to really get a sense that this is the third time I've used the word tonight, perspective, on a story like this. Media Matters for America, that fine organization that does such a brilliant job of fact-checking, and you know, they must have wheelbarrows, an army of people shoving cyber wheelbarrows full of cyber poop for all the BS that they uncover from right-wing media. And it was they who uncovered this story. A while back, the periodical Military Times conducted what it called its annual survey of active duty personnel on how they feel about the attempt to repeal Don't Ask, Don't Tell. And in that survey, let's see, 10% of the people responding to who were active duty military said that if the homos were allowed to serve openly homo in the military, that they'd just get out. They wouldn't love their country no more. They wouldn't want to serve their country no more. They'd get out because they didn't want to serve their country with no homos. No, really, they said they'd quit the military. 10% of the respondents to this stupid little survey said they'd quit the military rather than serve openly, or rather than serve in the military where people were able to say, well, you know, I'm gay. Or I'm sorry, if you were sending a text of that story from the New York Times, it would have to say, I'm beep. In the military, headline, New York Times, I'm beep, says Admiral. Yeah, we can't have any people serving openly beep in the military. Let's see, 14% said they would consider ending their careers. In other words, 14% said they would consider not loving their country enough to serve in the military. Because, you know, that's what we're beaten over the head with by the right-wing authoritarians all the time. You liberals, you won't go in the military because you don't love America like we do. Well, apparently, the really dead-from-the-neck-up conservative crowd doesn't love, only loves America if they can pretend that it's straight. Lord, this is sickening. And what Media Matters uncovered, of course, was the fact that this was not a scientific survey and that everybody participating in it was voluntary. Military Times has no way of citing this as any sort of a scientific sampling. That 10% said, "All right, well, I'm going to get out of the military because there might be a homo in the foxhole." That 10%, I'm guessing, while active duty, is probably not serving anywhere that there are bullets flying. Because, you see, the military is chock-a-block with gay folk now. I mean, you know that. I know that. It doesn't take an abacus to figure that out. Military's chock-a-block with gay folk. And in a war zone, we are told, one really becomes quite attached to one's squad mates, tent mates. And while I've never experienced it, I've had a few bullets fly by me, and it's quite disturbing. Happened in the woods. Happened with a drunk neighbor one time. When I was sitting in my 22. I didn't realize you was out in the yard. I was sitting in the yard in broad daylight, putting my children's swing set together. When my neighbor decided to drink a 12-pack of beer and sight in the rifle. And you don't really realize what's going on. Pew! Sounds like the most pissed off hornet you ever heard. But when that's happening all around you, I don't think you really have any time to say, you know, I wonder if that guy's gay. You know, if he's gay, I sure hope he gets blown away by one of these tursts. So I want no gays in the military. I sure would hate it if he come up to me and said, you know, I'm beep. Disgusting. So Media Matters busted the story, but lo and behold, at the news organ of the American Family Association, they're awful proud of that information. Elaine Donnelly, the president of the Center for Military Readiness, and apparently that question had never been asked on the survey before. She said, in essence, what would you do if the law is repealed? The Military Times found that 10% of respondents said they would leave the military, and an additional 14% said they would consider ending their careers. Now, even if half those numbers turned out to be an accurate prediction, that would be devastating to our volunteer force. It would pretty much destroy the military as we know it. That's right, the homos are going to destroy our machine that goes, our killing machine. They're going to destroy it. She believes those who might consider leaving have legitimate concerns if the law is repealed. The new policy would be forced cohabitation with homosexuals 24/7 in all military communities. Corollary programs to make the program work would include professional diversity training to enforce acceptance and zero tolerance of anyone who disagrees. You see, they love to hate people, these fundies. These dirty, filthy, rotten fundies. They love to hate people. And they just can't imagine. If they did, what if they did? Well, wait a minute, sister. I mean, I'm no math expert or anything, but gay folk are generally, if I recall the statistics that I used to hear listening to Peter Godbold, generally accepted to be about 10% of the population. So 10% of the military may be expected to be closetedly gay. And 10% say they'd quit. Well, doesn't it stand to reason, then, that being openly gay would allowing people who were gay to serve openly in the military would make up for any of those 5% of he-men who had to quit? Devastate the military? Somehow this doesn't wash for him. So at any rate, what we wind up with is, a statement by the bigoted people that they hate their, that they don't love their country enough to simply follow the rules established by the military. You know, civilians do run the military, at least in theory, in this country. And Congress has a right to make a law that says it's okay to be gay and a soldier, or gay and a sailor, or gay and a marine, or gay and an airman, or gay and a Coast Guard garter. It's okay. But there's 10% of the American military in a non-scientific study, which is probably not really 10% at all, but a hyper-inflated number of a bunch of, freaky heterosexists. And they, wow, my head kind of hurts just thinking about this, you know what I mean? They'd, son, you're looking real good to, get those captain's bars. Your evaluation was real good, and we think you're showing some real leadership potential here, and, well, proud to have you in the Corps. Hoo-ah, Colonel. But just heard they're going to let the homos serve, openly homo and all. I don't want to lead any homos. I'm going to, everybody says that you're a sure lock for general down the road. I don't want to be no general and no homos. That's what this means, isn't it? Yeah, that's what I thought. But they never give up. They never slow down. It kind of makes you wonder if any of those 7,000 members of our armed forces who were sent whose bereaved families were sent John Doe letters might have been gay. It's all, come on, math people. It's almost statistically certain that they were, isn't it? It's statistically impossible that some of them couldn't be, isn't it? Have I got that right? Do I understand that correctly? So imagine someone who had to spend their time in the military in the closet, who had to deny one of the fundamental elements of their basic human nature in order to serve the country that they loved, gave the last full measure of their devotion, were killed, brought home, buried, had words said over them, and a perfectly turned flag handed to their loved ones. Although it wouldn't be a spouse, of course, but that's that discussion. Gave not only the last full measure of devotion, but a little bit more because they gave up their fundamental the human nature to serve their country. And their family gets a letter to Dear John Doe. I don't know about you, but that's pretty damned hard to swallow. Yeah, meanwhile, Cossack, you're right. It's absolutely all right for drunk, straight jackasses to play grab-ass with unwilling women at things like tailhook. Don't ask, don't tell has got to go. If our military, if we have a military that is so stocked with heterosexists and bigots that it would, as this goofy Donnelly woman suggests, devastate the military to eliminate don't ask, don't tell, we kind of need to eliminate don't ask, don't tell because we don't need a, we need a military that's effective, some would argue. I look to the day when we can beat our swords into plowshares and our spears into pruning hooks or whatever it is. I don't know if that day will ever come to humanity. Some would argue we need some form of military. Granted, the founding fathers, of the framers of the Constitution, didn't believe we needed a standing military. Yeah, we kind of forget that. That part of the history when we get into all that intent of the framers business. But if we have to found a military on bigotry, on hate, on irrational fear, then I would submit to you that that military's not going to be much good when the rubber hits the road. Because you see, I'm not trying to beat a dead horse or anything, but if you've got people in a unit, because you don't have to be gay to be thought gay. You know, there were stories a few years ago, I remember one of them, about a perfectly competent individual being run out of the military, not because he was gay, but because there was a whispering campaign about him saying that he was. You know, I don't want the guy who does the whispering as either my point man or at my back in any kind of dangerous situation. Because that little piece of human waste won't just get himself killed, and he won't just get the person that he suspects killed. He'll get a lot of people killed. But, you know, never mind me. So let's bring tonight's oddly technologically challenged edition of prayer meeting full circle. I started the program with the top 10 examples from the Christian Anti-Defamation Commission of persecution of Christians in the year 2008 after divinity. No, really, you know, I was taught that as a young fundamentalist once upon a time. AD stands for after divinity. Mm-hmm. Before Christ, BC, AD, after divinity. Whew. I'm lucky I got out as relatively unscarred as I am. You know what I mean? But in 2008 AD, or 2008 CE, as is the more sane reference, current era, the fundamentalists think they're being persecuted because they're being criticized for being, let's see, what were Gary Cass's words? Cavemen, a bunch of unenlightened Neanderthals. I personally think that's being a little rough on the Neanderthals. But they think they're being persecuted. Well, here, let's try this on for size. I got a couple of stories from the once and future world's most fabulous LGBT conversation radio host, Peter Godbold. Both he and I and others from time to time have referred to postings at a magnificent blog called Pam's House Blend, established by a North Carolinian woman by the name of Pam Spalding. did extraordinary good work. Pam's okay. Pam's house blend isn't. Pam's house blend was hosted by an organization called Soap Blocks. And Pam's house blend was taken offline by hackers yesterday. Paul Preston at Soap Blocks said, "It was a good ride, but it's over. All these hackers messing with our stuff, and we here at Soap Blocks have no clue what to do. We don't have enough knowledge, time, money, or care to fix it. Consider this the we're out of business post." A group called Hasta La Vista has been linked to the hijacking of the affected server that was taken offline by the ISP. And frankly, they don't know what they can recover or if they can recover anything. Blue Jersey was taken down. American Liberalism was taken down. Bethink.org was taken down. RadicalRust.net was taken down. Pam Spaulding said, "I wish I could see a bright side to this. It's incredible that years of hard work can be destroyed in a flash, but we're in the digital age and there are people motivated to silence voices through malicious acts. I'm hopeful that data will be recovered, but Paul Preston of Soap Blocks has said he will not restore any sites. That means Pam's house blend will need to find a new hosting platform and a redesign, and that will take a good amount of time." That, you see, at least, because, see, there weren't any stories on the fundamentalist top 10 list about their websites being taken down or their voices being silenced. Oh, no, 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 no. The American Family Association pumps cyber sewage into the ether on a minute by minute, megabyte by megabyte, gigabit by gigabyte basis. But it's the fundies who are being persecuted. Just like the ancient Romans of old. So there's that. And then something even more significantly disturbing. This. The headline says, and it's from the Seattle Times. It is from staff reports at that paper. It says 11 gay bars get letters threatening ricin attacks. 11 gay bars in Seattle were sent letters Tuesday threatening ricin attacks in what some are describing as a hate crime. Who aren't describing that as a hate crime? And why are they still allowed to walk around in civil society? The anonymous letters say, "I have in my possession approximately 67 grams of ricin, with which I will indiscriminately target at least 5 of your clients. I expect them to die painfully while in hospital." In hospital? That's not an American English phrase. Oh, well. And if it actually said that with all the punctuation and stuff, maybe it's not fundies. A 12th letter was sent to the alternative weekly The Stranger. The letter says the paper should be, quote, prepared to announce the deaths of approximately 55 individuals. I don't know if anybody in this listening audience knows of these particular, around here we call them beer joints. But no, these are gay bars in the Seattle area. The Elite, Neighbors, the Wild Rose Bar, the Cuff, Purr, the Seattle Eagle, Our Place, Rebar, CC Addles, Madison Pub, that's cute, CC Addle, Madison Pub, and the Crescent. The letter goes on to imply that the attacks will take place some Saturday during this month. The letters were received yesterday. The Seattle Police Department says it, of course, takes the threat seriously. It has seized the letters and is processing them and is coordinating efforts with the FBI and other federal agencies. Of course, folks who work at the affected public houses are less than comfortable. One individual said, I expect to feel safe at work. Being here is like being at your house, but this doesn't make you feel safe. The bars, at least one of them, the Elite, has been informing its customers of the threat, letting them know that making sure that they don't leave their drinks unattended. The manager of that bar said, on the one hand, you don't want to overreact, but on the other hand, you want to make sure your staff and clients are safe. Editorial director of The Stranger is Dan Savage. You may know his name. He says he's not taking the threat very seriously. He said, quote, I get a death threat a day with Savage Love. That's his sex column. He also said the letters didn't contain any religious references and makes him wonder whether the author was an embittered gay person. I wonder about anyone who uses the phrase in hospital without the in it. Maybe the Johnny on the spot Seattle Police Department, FBI, noticed that too, but don't count on it. But you see, as compared to having Bill Maher make a movie about fundamentalist insanity, this, whereby people trying to get away from the stress of everyday life, and stresses that may be worse than most of us experience by virtue of having to live in a prejudiced society, even in Seattle, this is worse. This is persecution. This is targeting of people for a particular facet of their existence. This is, in a word, sickening. In another word, this is inhuman. And in another phrase, this is par for the course in America. Lord, don't I wish it wasn't. But it is. So if you happen to frequent any of those bars in Seattle, and we have listeners there, please be so kind as to be careful. The Elite, Neighbors, the Wild Rose Bar, the Cuff, Purr, the Seattle Eagle, Our Place, Rebar, Seattle's, Madison Pub, and the Crescent. If you frequent any of those, don't leave your drink unattended. And maybe don't let anybody but bar staff or the bartender hand you a drink. And if you're inclined in this direction, I wouldn't be snorting any white powder anywhere near those places anytime soon. Just saying. Like our buddy Malloy says all the time at the end of his program, watch your backs. It is a dangerous, bigoted, hateful world we live in. And I thank so many of you for trying to make it less so. And it makes me proud to stand with so many people who work hard to cleanse themselves of the bigotries and prejudices which our culture tends to immerse us in.
Be safe. Be back with you tomorrow evening. God willing, and the internet don't rise. Guy James will be back with you tomorrow afternoon. So will Mark Levine, and so will I later. A full day of Horn Broadcasting. Thanks to John Fox, our chief engineer. Thanks to Peter Godbold, our IT professional. Thanks to Ben Birch, who is desperately overworked right now and proving every day that he is the hardest working man in liberal talk. Thanks to every one of you who gives of themselves in one way or another to keep this network going. Thank you to the hardest working, bravest people I know. The folks at Coal River Mountain Watch, crmw.net, and coalriverwind.org. Go to those sites, look around, and stand with them. You can learn a lot. You can learn a lot indeed. And always, 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 RMR, Gina, it's all for you.
Let's go. We got progress. Any questions before we proceed? You countdown. Six. Five. Four. Three. Two. One. You have entered the restricted broadcast. You have entered the restricted broadcast. This is the Guy James Show. Guy James Show, America's number one Democratic talk show. You've heard from the radical right. Now, all that's left is the truth. And now here's Guy James.
Well, good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to the Guy James Show here on the Head On Radio Network. Great to have you along with us this afternoon on this sunny Southwest Florida day. I hope it's nice where you are, although it can't be any better than it is here. About 81 degrees today, sunny, a gorgeous day. And it is no wonder that everyone in the, you know, Northern Hemisphere is here today. Lots of traffic. Lots of traffic. People, it's that time of year when the folks we call snowbirds descend upon us here in Southwest Florida. And hopefully they brought lots of money this year, although signs are so far that they didn't. Lots of people coming on a shoestring this year. See, I do want to remind you before I get started today, something important coming up at 3:30 this afternoon, about 27 minutes from right now. We're going to have Ambassador Ed Peck going to be on with us today. The ambassador spent, he was ambassador in Iraq, and he spent a lot of time in the Middle East, and we've had Ed on the program before. What he doesn't know about the Middle East isn't worth knowing, I think. So we're going to look forward to having Ambassador Ed Peck with us this afternoon. Get everybody you know to tune in this afternoon. Oh, do you have that same feeling I do? You got your Christmas tree down. We celebrate the 12 days of Christmas at our home. And anyway, the tree's down as of yesterday. The holidays are over with for the year. The big holidays, you know, we got Valentine's Day coming up soon. But you know what I'm talking about, that period between Thanksgiving Day and New Year's Day when everyone kind of takes it easy and puts off any important things till after the holidays. You hear that over and over again. Well, we won't do anything about that until after the first of the year. Well, it's after the first of the year now. But, you know, shopping, partying, the college football games, all 34 of them this year. Oh, ho-hum. They weren't all ho-hum. My beloved Buckeyes last night got, I think it was, 16 seconds to go when Texas scored? What a shame. We lost that game just by an eyelash, but it was an evenly matched game. It was a great game between two great football teams, two great programs, and no shame in losing, although it would have been nice to win it. But college football season's all over with until tomorrow night. That'll be the final, the national championship.